welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Good morning. Adam Curl is right here. He's stepping in. He's got his coffee.
I'm sure
you made it.
Good times.
I'm sure your legs are sore from dancing.
Ooh. Oh, it's been about 2.5 hours worth of dancing yesterday. Combined,
why
more
should
dancing.
Be different than any other Thursday?
Yeah, it's a good point. Well, I'll know. I usually do 3 hours on Thursdays. Yeah, combined more dancing than I've ever done in my entire life yesterday.
That was your first moment. Did you feel any knack for ballroom dancing?
Knack. No, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what I found out. I found out that dancing and ballroom dancing, or modern dancing, or what I would just call party dancing.
Yeah, freestyle.
Yeah, because let's face it, as a normal guy, the only dancing you're ever going to do is when you get dragged up on the dance floor, when they start playing Moni Moni at the wedding, the bar mitzvah, the party, the what have you.
Right.
So you get up there and you do that kind of dancing. It's lift your feet off the ground kind of dancing,
move your
hips. Yeah, move your head dancing. And it's also sort of very rhythmic. Here you go. This is, you know, we should do a Music Monday. And we probably have, but we should dust it off again. Top 10 worst wedding songs. This Moni Moni. Twist and Shout.
However,
this Moni Moni.
The original Moni Moni.
Yeah, the original.
A fun little ditty.
But still effed out. And anyway, there's that kind of dancing, and then there's ballroom dancing. Ballroom dancing is a lot of sliding around and not really moving your upper torso.
It's mainly about the carriage staying still.
The carriage. That's what she called it. And speaking of the carriage, I got to say, like, I'm uncomfortable with intimacy.
Oh, my God. Your body bubble gets so burst in partner dancing.
I don't look people in the eye. I don't even look at myself in the mirror. I look at my shoes in the mirror. And then I put mirrors on my shoes so I can see back at myself, and then later on I reflect them so I can see up producer Angie's skirt. But
needlessly elaborate.
It is, yeah, it seems like a lot of work. It's how some would suggest the Egyptians lit the inner tombs of the pyramids that way. Oh. But the point is, this is a 19-year-old girl from Utah who's the best-looking person you've ever seen up close.
Right.
There are those celebrities that look pretty damn good on TV, and then you get up on them and you go, oh, not the world's greatest skin, or what have you, but she's 19.
She's perfect.
Your face gets 2.5 inches from her face, and you're just looking at the bluest eyes you've ever seen in your life and skin that does not possess pores.
Yeah, no pores.
And then she's saying, she's grabbing you and saying you have to push your hips into mine. We shouldn't have any distance between our hips. You need to push your hips into me, and you need to push me along the dance floor with your hips. And it's like, I'm going to hit you with more than a hip, baby.
Well, I came to the conclusion.
Keep talking.
Third hip.
I came to the conclusion watching Oprah yesterday. I think I know why there's only been one female winner.
Mm-hmm.
I think women are better teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, their partners, the men, win.
Mm-hmm.
Julianne's got to be a good teacher, and Cheryl too, because Drew Lachey looked amazing dancing on Oprah. So did Emmett Smith.
Yes. Let me say this: it's the kind of an endeavor that if I was the teacher and she was a 19-year-old hot young country star, which she may end up being before the week is through, I would feel very uncomfortable grabbing her the way she grabbed me and saying, you need to push your hips into me.
That's a gender difference.
And you need to stay close to me. I would feel like I am going to be arrested for what I'm doing to this young girl.
Or seem pervy at the very least.
I would feel very uncomfortable, as you spoke about the sort of personal space bubble.
Yeah, body
I would feel
bubble.
Very... What's that?
The body bubble.
The body bubble. There you go. I would feel very uncomfortable if I was just a dancing instructor, male, and there was a young, beautiful celebrity female really working the technique. Now, she knows there's nothing she's going to do that's ever going to offend any heterosexual or gay man, for that matter, since it's dancing. I mean, she's just a total pro. She knows how it's done. But I got to say, you are spot welded to somebody for 3 hours. I understand where the rumors start.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Lots of calls. Lots of calls.
Well, your big Oprah appearance was yesterday.
Let's see. I'll just start at the top and head on down. Tracy?
Hi.
What's happening, Tracy?
I am calling from Cincinnati.
Thank you for listening via the computer.
Well, I listen podcast. Today I'm home on a snow day, so I'm listening via computer.
Mm-hmm. But podcast is still that, and in the sense you, it gets loaded on your iPod, right?
Right. Automatically. It does.
Automatically. I don't want to bore everybody, but on the other hand, I'd like to enlighten people. I have an iPod or two. I wouldn't mind podcasting other people's shows. I'm not always by the radio when the Deutsch Man fires up at 2 in the afternoon. What's funny?
I podcast This American Life.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There's another one of the shows I wouldn't mind podcasting. How do you do it? How does it work? I just hear it, but I've never done it.
Well, there's a place on your website where you go to podcasts, and all you have to do is click on subscribe, and then it goes through iTunes.
Uh-huh.
And then some days I have to right-click on, you go to podcasts and iTunes, and then I have to right-click on update the podcast, and then it just loads on.
What do you physically do with your iPod?
Well, one thing about your podcast is they come out in reverse order. So then I drag them over to my playlist, and then I reverse the order. All the way through.
And you have your iPod, and your iPod has the different settings. You just plug it in and load that.
Yeah, it just goes.
Okay.
It just goes right on.
Do they charge you?
No.
Some shows do.
Well, yeah, shows do.
Right.
And we don't.
Yeah, and you guys don't. And also the commercials are edited.
When I was your age, television was all books.
Jesus Christ. What's in it for me? All right. Well, thank you, Tracy.
Wait, I have more to say.
Yeah? All right.
Can I, since I finally got through?
Good gravy. We have 3 calls from Cincinnati, Ohio, all in a row.
Oh.
And we're not on in Cincinnati, Ohio. But go ahead, Tracy.
Well, I just wanted to say that I love your stories, Adam. And I love Teresa's quick quips. But when she said something about the triangle offense, when you were talking about Carl Malone, I thought that was hysterical. And Brian's incredible droppability. And my daughter's getting sick of me referring to your show all the time. But like Adam, when you said, was I just lowered by a winch from a star?
Mm-hmm.
That killed me.
I have no recollection of ever saying that combination of words.
It was just a few.
I was probably saying that there are many things that confuse me in this society, and I really feel like I can't process them. Like I was never like a newborn babe with a Brillo head and a foul mouth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I strike it up to being an atheist, but there are a lot of things that just sort of transcend religion where I don't understand why as a society we've decided to go this route. But all right. Hey, Tracy.
Yeah.
Thank you. But we have 18 other people from the Ohio area to speak to.
Okay.
Tracy, thanks a lot. And by the way, huge primary in Ohio. Who are you voting for?
Obama.
Good times.
Hey, I'm your cyber sister from your MySpace sister.
Oh,
your older
thank you.
MySpace sister. Thanks for emailing me.
Thanks, Tracy.
Sure.
Thanks, guys.
Look, and let me say this about Teresa and Bald Brian, and we don't have enough of this in radio today. Teresa is funny. Bald Brian is funny. Teresa is has a very evolved sense of humor. Bald Brian is super quick with his fingers, but what they both are is super intelligent, super bright, super smart people. See what I mean? And if you put those kind of people around you, no matter, I don't care if you run an exotic fish store, if you put smart people around you, life is so goddamn much more easy. And if you put stupid people around you, it's very difficult.
Surround yourself with pinheads, your life's going to be difficult.
Yes. The female, the attractive 20-something-year-old female pinheads. Craig?
Yes, Adam.
You're calling from Ohio as well.
Cincinnati. I thought I was the only one.
Well, there's someone above you and someone beneath you on my board that is from Ohio, but thanks. Go ahead, Craig.
We should get your radio show out here. That'd be nice.
I have no idea how that works given how bad most radio personalities are. and I hate to sound like a bitter a-hole, but radio is horrible. It's filled with talentless people who can't make it on TV and claim they don't want to work on TV, but secretly do want to work on TV. They just don't have it in the tank to work on TV. How it is that there's 28 personalities in Cincinnati, Ohio that are somehow better than we are is above and beyond me, and I know it's not mathematically possible.
Yeah, there's no good morning shows in Cincinnati.
There's something going on with the syndication process, and I've got to work it out because we have not been syndicated nearly as widely as I naturally and modestly think we should be. Again, not because we're good, because everyone else is horrible. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, I T-bowed Oprah yesterday, and mm-hmm. by the way, once I put a season pass in for Dancing with the Stars, my TiVo will officially know I'm, or will think I'm gay.
My TiVo got an AIDS test.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I put in a season pass for Dancing with the Stars, and then Dance Wars, where they announced it, I showed up there, and I said, where's the TiVo? It's down at the clinic.
You did it all on the same day too. I thought you had like a big coming out for your family.
DVD player raped it last weekend.
Your TiVo had to check its T cells.
That's right.
My fiance came home mm-hmm. last night, and I'm watching Oprah, mm-hmm. and I was so embarrassed. I switched it off like she caught me watching porn.
Nice.
I think I know why Oprah didn't ask you any questions.
Please.
She probably Googled the Man Show, and it's really Jimmy's fault. She probably saw the bit where Jimmy dressed up as Oprah, and I think it was called Oprah Jimfrey.
Yeah, he did a bunch of interstitials, and he crapped cupcakes on one.
When he crapped a chocolate-covered donut, it was the most repulsive-looking thing.
I know, one broke loose and floated up just at the right time. Yeah, hey, Craig, I'm never going to flatter myself to say that Oprah did a bunch of Adam Carolla homework before Adam Carolla came on Oprah's show.
Yeah, but one of her flunkies.
The reality, possibly, but here's the reality. No, I spoke to her after the show, so she was perfectly congenial after the show. Here's how TV works. TV works that you do a whole bunch of planning because you're always scared you're going to have dead air and run out of time. And I shouldn't say run out of time, run out of content. So you overplan, and then you get to the end of the show and you do that thing where you go, we don't have time for a musical act because everything takes a little bit longer than it did in rehearsal, partly because people are laughing, partly because people are applauding, partly because you're improvising, so on and so forth. So you get to the end of the show, and if you ever are scheduled at the end of a show, your segment will go from 9 minutes to 4 minutes. Right. It will shrink like an accordion being squeezed. We were scheduled to come in at the end of the show. Now, if we were scheduled to be introduced at the beginning of the show, she, I guarantee, would have got to every single one of us and then probably cut Drew Lachey's dance. We were scheduled for the end of the show, and she had a very limited time. She said hi to 60% or half or a little, whatever. There were 4 or 5 people that didn't get the Oprah high. I'm not chalking it up to anything, just like the other 4 or 5 people that didn't get the high from Oprah shouldn't chalk it up to anything. All right. We need to take a break. We have tons of calls, 18 more from the Cincinnati area alone to speak to. Let's see. Somebody's got a while you're out question for T-Bone. Somebody spazzed out about Dancing with the Stars.
That was me.
Ah, I see. Manual gearbox or sequential gearbox.
Is Drew really a gangster? I think I know, Dr. Drew, mm-hmm. I think I know the genesis of that, having seen Celebrity Rehab last night.
I will tell everyone anything they want to know about Dr. Drew gladly next on The Adam Carolla Show.
It's The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what's coming up for your Friday morning with program director Jack Silver.
Check, check, check. I drink your milkshake, peeps. Today, late night talk with Jimmy Kimmel. The week's best TV clips with Joel McHale. The creator of the show Cops, John Langley. A countdown of infuriating topics in This Week in Rage. Oh, thank Christ it's Friday, peeps. Jackman's got a big weekend planned. Take some roofies, play some tennis. Dime a pubes, order an escort. Just kidding, peeps. Jackman doesn't play tennis.
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
I just want to hug Joel McHale. I want to melt into his arms when he shows up today.
Oh, my God. His mics are on.
Huh? Jack was talking. Oh, good Christ. All right. The rest of How Say You.
I'm a hermaphrodite.
You want to take the Dr. Drew gangster question?
Sure.
You know what this caller's talking about,
I may.
Paul, 38, hey. From Portland.
That's me.
How say you, my brother?
Well, first I want to say the show's better than ever.
Thank you.
And thank you for freeing your listeners from Guantanaduchi Bay.
Good stuff.
You were nicotine boarded.
Mm-hmm.
No, waterboarding is nothing. I'm bedazzling.
Red Bull boarded.
I'm going to dunk you in this Red Bull until you tell me.
I just wanted to ask something. I never got to into Loveline, but I'm a huge fan of yours. I mean, I just never saw it, never heard it so much. Mm-hmm. And I think the Dr. Drew Show is like the best show on TV right now.
Mm-hmm.
And on last night's show, did you see it?
No, I did not see last night's show.
Are you talking about what went down with at the Rico?
Yeah. And it wasn't so much, I wasn't asking so much about a gangster, because I think I kind of saw that come out. Mostly I just wanted to know, well, what happens is they go on a boat trip to Catalina, and this ultimate fighting guy, after being warned over and over not to do it, he jumps overboard, and the Harbor Patrol shows up, and it's a whole big deal. And as he's swimming to the dock, Dr. Drew runs up to him, and he goes, really? Really?
Yes.
He pulls the incredulous, really, that is one of the Corolla, you know,
signposts. And my wife and I just cracked up, and then we were talking about it, and we didn't know. It sounds like he got it from you, but could you have gotten that from him?
Well, no.
That's a very popular thing this year and last year, the really?
Yeah.
Now, this is a different really, though. This is a yelling really. This has been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
I don't claim people plagiarize too much for me, but the good times in the really does seem to have caught on and been doing that for quite a few years over there on the Loveline program.
Right.
Here's the deal. When it comes to Dr. Drew and me, it's like if you take a black guy and an Asian guy and you put them in the room, they're not going to speak with an Asian accent. They're going to speak with a black twang, a blang, as I like to call it. So I was the black man in that room. I didn't end up sounding like Drew. Drew ended up sounding like me, although I probably learned more from sitting next to Dr. Drew. I would have to, because I was put on academic probation at L.A. Valley College in Van Nuys. And when any learning institute in Van Nuys puts you on academic probation, it would be like being drummed out of, it would be like someone saying, you're not Turkish prison guard material. I'm sorry. We have standards.
You smoke too much pot. You cannot work at High Times anymore.
Right. Yeah, so...
Later, Hosen.
Dr. Drew, I would like to... Inside, everybody who takes care of somebody else lies a very angry man. And I would like to think that I unleashed Dr.
Listen.
I would like to think that I unleashed Dr. Drew's inner anger. I convinced him that there were a lot of people that weren't worth saving, that you shouldn't, that there was no reason to be kind to people that weren't being kind to you. You know what Dr. Drew's favorite thing used to do? His favorite thing of all time is we would travel around and inevitably when we would go to a college, there'd always be one diesel dyke. Just one haunchy, short-haired, angry chick who couldn't get laid by any sex, hanging around backstage, and they'd always do the bum rush to Drew, and they'd go, what makes you think it's okay to talk to teens about fill in the blank? Who made you an authority on? And Drew would immediately snap into sort of self-defense mode, where he'd say, I've had a lot of years of training, clinical training and otherwise. I never do. And I would just go up and I'd go, hey, bitch, hit the bricks.
Beat it.
As a matter of fact, as long as you're going out for donuts, grab me a churro, fat ass. And her face would turn beet red and she'd walk away. And Drew'd be like, huh, huh, huh. And I'd be like, just tell him to F off. You're not going to win them over because they didn't start by asking a question. Oh, they put a question mark at the end of it, but they punched you in the face with it. Right. You know the people where they go, they're not saying, you know, when you say, what makes you an authority on teen sexual habits? That's not a question. That's an allegation. That's a statement. That's an attack. And when they get out of the gate that way, just tell them to F off and keep
time
walking.
Time to start listening, goddammit.
We used to have that happen all the time, and I took great joy in intervening and telling those people to F off. And they always did F off immediately, and Drew enjoyed it, and then eventually, I think he craved it.
Yes, sir, Ms. Grohl.
Yeah, but the other thing about Drew, too, is he's, you know, he's all man. He really is. He's built like a brick ass house. He's a passionate, passionate man.
Can't go to a strip club. Too passionate.
Too passionate. And is so passionate. One of Drew's my favorite stories is when Drew was in high school, he was a man of passion as well. And he had a girlfriend.
Boy of passion.
And yes, he was an adolescent of passion. And back then, possibly filled with even more passion. And he said he had himself a girlfriend, and you couldn't just go to the corner and get condoms. And you couldn't just go on the internet and get condoms. You couldn't go to the gay bar and put your hand into the fishbowl and get condoms. You had to go to a pharmacy and go talk to the pharmacist to get condoms. Imagine, you know, we're not talking about the 50s. We're talking about probably the 70s here. Drew's dad is a doctor, and he's a physician in the same town Drew lives in now and was the whole time Drew's growing up. So the young Drew boy, the young Pinsky,
yeah,
he can't head into the local pharmacy.
Everyone knows his dad.
Go buy himself a crate of condoms.
Right.
Everyone knows his dad, and most importantly, he knows his dad, and his dad knows him. He said he would go to Chinatown to buy condoms.
Chinatown here in Los Angeles.
No, he would go up to the Bay Area. No, Chinatown here. Chinatown here. And by
Pasadena
the way,
Pasadena might have a beautiful Chinatown.
No. In Chinatown.
They have one Asian person.
That's their Chinatown. And wherever that guy is Chinatown.
That
guy's on the top of the Space Needle in Seattle. That's the Pasadena Chinatown.
Yeah, last said it was at Chinatown in Pasadena.
Really?
Yeah, it was going 80 miles an hour.
I thought you were on a cruise in Mexico. Yeah, that's where he was. I was on him. So he would go down to Chinatown and buy himself condoms. But the thing that was funny is when you're making the pilgrimage to Chinatown, and by the way, there is, I've said this many times for those of you who think I'm xenophobic. I love foreigners because they don't judge, or more importantly, we don't care if they judge. This is why all women want themselves, when they get the bikini wax, they want the crazy nationality. You don't want a contemporary, and you don't want somebody who looks like you. You don't want another 29-year-old white chick going, you lived in the Bay Area? I lived in the Bay Area.
No, I need a 50-year-old Slavic woman.
Right, who's going, you hold still. Hold still. Here, the bite towel. I take towel, I put a rubber band around it. Now bite on it, whore. And they just whoosh, away. And then like, and she's so new to this country, she's like, I do not understand. Does not your vagina freeze in the winter? No, we don't want the fur coat on there. Okay, it is up to you. Right, that's what you want. You want that in a gynecologist. And when you buy condoms, you don't want some blue-eyed guy going, wait a minute, you went to Crespi Prep School?
You're Dr. Pinsky's kid.
You're Pinsky's kid, aren't you? I got a son who goes to Crespi. What'd you want again?
Toothpaste.
Toothpaste? You don't have to come to the pharmacy. You know, just buy that off the shelf.
I need special toothpaste.
Well, you have sensitive teeth?
Yes. That's it.
Uh-huh.
Very, very, very sensitive teeth. And maybe could you throw in a couple Trojans?
You're a USC man, are you? You want condoms for brushing your teeth?
You can't be too careful.
Right. Dr. Drew would have to go to Chinatown. And again, it's a judgment-free zone because you know that part where they all look the same? Well, guess who looks the same to them?
And here's the thing. When I grew up in San Francisco, if you wanted to drink underage,
right,
you went to Chinatown because it's not as clear how old you are.
Look, they're not experts in us. I can tell the difference between a 19-year-old kid and a 22-year-old kid. They can't. That's what I would do. We'd buy all our booze from one liquor store that had a crazy foreign guy behind the counter. A, he comes from an environment that doesn't possess laws. That's number one. That's the first thing you're looking for. Like 40 years of a culture where they're selling booze to toddlers. You know what I mean? You come in there at 16 with your bad 16-year-old mustache. You're looking like an old man in his country. So, yes, that's what you want. But Drew would go in there and he'd have to buy. He'd go in there with a pallet jack because who the hell wants to drive back and forth to Chinatown to get condoms? And again, a man of great passion, he'd buy it by the case. I go in there with, you want to help out the car with that condom pack?
It was just Costco.
Hey, some ye, get mule, get donkey and Sherpa.
Well, getting back to Dr. Drew, on the show last night, I had the same thought as the caller, because he did the really, and this kind of really has a certain amount of empathy to it, because it's really, I can't believe he did that, but there's a little, I'm sad you did that in it. And he proceeded really with, dude, really?
Really?
And he swore a lot. He had to be beeped out a lot on the show.
Drew did.
Yeah.
Yeah, Drew's good to go. He gets fired up and he can complain with the best of them. And he, again, no, I take credit for turning him. He was the world's nicest guy, but he was, and as I've said this many times, he's a pleaser.
Yeah.
And now, most women, there's many more women pleasers than there
are
male pleasers. But let me tell you something. Hell hath no fury like a pleaser when they snap.
Oh, yeah. My ex. That gets ugly. And Dr. Drew admitted on the show to the group, he said, I'm the number one codependent you'll meet.
Really? Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Christian?
Yes.
What's up, my brother?
How are you, Adam? Congratulations. Hello, Teresa.
Calling from the aforementioned Pasadena.
Yeah, just moved here from the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Do you enjoy the Chinatown?
I'm a product of the Los Angeles Unified School District.
Good times. Where'd you go to school?
I went to Hart Street Elementary, and then my mother, Scott Wise, and put me in a private school.
Smart. And by the way, moving from the Valley to Pasadena is literally a lateral move. It's exactly the same temperature. Everything is exactly the same.
Basically.
Pasadena a little nicer, though. So what's up?
Hey, listen, I'm a ballroom dance choreographer, and I work on Dancing with the Stars.
You do?
Yeah, and I want to say congratulations. Welcome.
Thank you. And now what
I am a gay American.
What do you do with Dancing with the Stars?
Far from gay American. Thank you very much. That's what I wanted to tell you. Listen, I'm tall. I'm 6 foot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm straight. And listen, you got a lot going for you as far as the build of your body.
I'm gay.
Don't stress the clothing, bro. It is tight, but it's covered. You know what I'm saying? You're not just wearing that lace, that really tight shirt with the underwear. You got pants covered.
I didn't know there were pants that went over the crotch snap that you put on with the ruffled shirt. But I have to tell you this. They pulled out some shoes for me to check out yesterday.
Yeah.
And there was the ballroom shoes, which just kind of look like 40s gangster shoes.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And then they pulled out the Latin ballroom shoes. And I said, I don't know women who would wear these shoes, number one. Number two, aesthetically, and I'm into design, I'm into architecture, I love cars, I love aircraft. I held the shoe up and I said, this is not the ugliest shoe I've ever seen in my life. This is the ugliest thing I've ever seen man create. I'm gonna put buildings, aircraft, automobiles. This thing is uglier than a Pontiac Aztec van.
Oof.
This is the ugliest goddamn thing man has ever set out to create.
Worse than a Scion?
Somebody Google or go IMDb a Latin dance shoe. The Latin ballroom shoe is officially the ugliest product ever to come from man's imagination.
It's basically a sock with a heel on it.
Oh, okay.
And a weird heel, and it bends the wrong way. It really.
So your foot can point, right?
Whatever it is, it looks like picture this. Like, picture the world's ugliest bridge that a giant blew a snot rocket onto. That's what it looks like. It's horrible looking. It's just the worst looking.
It's the lightest thing you're gonna wear. You know, you can't dance in a regular dance shoe.
Well,
that shoe to get around quick, other than to keep up with everybody.
They said you're tall. They said maybe you can wear the regular ballroom shoe.
I'll tell you something, though. It's going to hurt you aesthetically.
There are not bell bottoms big enough to cover that kind of ugly.
Oh, they do. Listen, the pants I have are trust me, they're not peg leg pants. They're going to be nice-looking Latin pants. They flare out at the bottom. They look slick. I mean, they look strong.
All right, Christian.
That's what you're shooting for a strong male image on the floor, let me tell you.
Speaking of shooting for.
Yep.
Tell your boyfriend to turn his head.
Oh.
Sorry. I can only talk Latin dance shoes with a man so long before I start going gay, too.
I hate gay people.
Thanks, Tim Hardaway.
Let's see. One more call. What do you got? See anything you like, T? While you're out?
Oh.
Yeah, let's talk to that guy. Hey, Christian.
Good morning, Adam, Teresa, Brian.
Got a question for T-Bone?
I do. Mm-hmm. We've done a lot of cracking up over the years over Ty Pennington, and I'm wondering, Teresa worked with Andrew Dan Jumbo as a master carpenter. Was he really a master carpenter, or does he just have a great porn name?
Absolutely a master carpenter, 100%. I've seen him make chair, like an entire very complicated chair in 2 hours. There's nothing he can't do.
With no IKEA wrench, by the way.
No IKEA wrench.
Purely.
Very, very, very compulsive about his tools. You know how we had that while you're out truck?
Uh-huh.
He would be up at 3 in the morning, you'd look out your hotel window and
weird.
He was reorganizing.
Weird about his tools.
Weird about his tools.
That's a carpenter trait.
And he was a carpenter with his brother up in Buffalo for 10 years before. Nah. He was a professional full-time carpenter.
I'll go for it. Although I would argue that Teresa would not know. She would be a good measuring stick, but would not know definitively if somebody was a master carpenter or not, although she's a very intelligent person. But I wouldn't really know if someone was a computer expert, although if I worked with him, I'd go, he definitely knows his way around the Mac.
You can tell how people respond. Like, we had a team of designers, and they all were in love with his work, and they would sort of kowtow to him, because he was a little bit of a diva about the carpentry.
All right.
And
well, just the fact that he was from Buffalo suggests that he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, you know, by way of England. But the other thing is, Trading Spaces and While You Were Out were both on the same network. And we knew a lot of the same people. We used a lot of the same crew. Trading Spaces had a carpenter that you never saw. And he made everything that Ty Pennington would make the first cut. And this guy would run in. We had nobody. All of the work we did was Andrew, the other carpenter, Leslie, the designer, me, and the homeowners.
Good times. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, I'm trying to do some quick math. We have Brian, too, wants to do a little battle with Bald Brian. Brian, too?
Dancing with the Stars this and Dancing with the Stars that. Pal, who cares? Now it's on. If you give me a week's notice, I will show up and beat your ass.
Okay, hang on. I want to have a little mix-up, mash-up. Face off with Bald Brian. He already had a hair off in high school. A little face off with Bald Brian and Brian 2. For those of you who don't know Brian 2, he's a guy who grabs all the clips from this show, speeds them up and slows them down, and then punches them right back. They'll go Mano Ibaldo next.
Bald and gay. Brian's bald and gay. Does his sound effects for very little pay? We all see his homo tendencies. A neat freak, this super geek. A hairless head, no girls in his bed. Bald and gay, Brian.
I knew it, I'm surrounded by assholes.
I missed that one. All right, well, we have This Week in Rage.
How did that not get deleted?
But
how does that make it?
That's a good point. We have Brian, too, on the phone as well. Brian, too.
Hi.
Oh, it's Lynette.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
This is what you woke me up for. Friday.
Brian, too. Now, hold on a second.
That was confusing. I thought, is that Lynette?
Are we supposed to ask Brian 2 questions? I can't remember how this works.
Let's try that.
He's more of a solo artist, so he's...
Yeah.
All right, so should we just sit back then?
And let him go?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, yes. All right. Well, let's sit back then.
If you can't sing or dance, you could end up like this has been. There's a party here, that is what this is. Just dig this concept, everybody. T, don't tune out.
Can Batman escape? One hint, the worst is yet to come.
All right, sorry. Go get your manager, because this is insane. You're up in your head. Have a belt at Jameson's and lighten up a little bit, would you? Take a crap. I couldn't do what I do without Adam Carolla, but I could not be Adam Carolla. You know what I'm saying? Good times. Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Mm. I got to go fight. Had a great conversation with Dr. Drew. Well, let's see. I just got back from Chicago. I have not been home. I've been very busy. Hey, Broseph. Hey, one Mississippi, two Mississippi. There's going to be a dancing show. No. You know what? All right, we'll get to that, but...
Oh, my God, it's exciting. Oh, my God, it's exciting.
There it is.
Brian, too?
Yeah.
All right, nice job, buddy.
Very nice.
How's it going, guys?
It's going good. It's going better now that you're here. Now, where are you out of Portland?
Yeah, out of Portland.
Mm-hmm. And you do that on your Mac computer? Or how does that work?
Oh, no, I just use I use a PC, and I've got a program called WaveLab that's great. And whip it up. Actually, you're going to call me an Uber geek here in a second, but I just did my count on my Adam Carolla drives, and I have just under 1,200.
Wow.
Peak.
Well, Brian, how many drops do you have?
About 1,000.
All right. So he's beating bald Brian.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, too?
Yeah.
Always flattered that you put the effort in.
Well, thanks, man. I'd like to, whenever I could call in anytime and just add to stuff, maybe we could work something out where you could ask questions and I could bounce back and forth. You know, however you want to work it is cool with me.
All right. Well, next time we'll do it that way.
Yeah, right on.
All right. Good times,
thanks, Brian,
too.
Another
Everybody?
Week of you ignoring your wife and kids.
All right. One more and I'm out of here, okay?
All right.
You know, I just said what I said, and it was wrong, or was taken wrong, and now it's all this.
All right, let's take a break.
Bye.
All right. What's that?
Is that John Lennon?
Yes.
It's Lennon saying they're bigger than God.
Right.
I do believe.
Correct.
Now, this. I have Week in Rage, but I looked up at the TV set, and I saw something else that made me angry. So I'm going to put my Week in Rage. And by the way, my Week in Rage is the limo driver privacy screen. First class. Boy, I've really turned the corner here.
Appeal to the common man.
Not being be able to get into the first
caviar
class.
Caviar being too low.
You are a factory, right. But sometimes the factory makes the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
19th century French wine being all corked.
Yes. All right. I have many topics here, but I'll tell you what. I'd like to talk about this for a second. Now, I don't want to sound like a hypocrite because I have to pluck my eyebrows because my eyebrows will become one huge brow, bro, if I do not pluck them. They will simply grow across. I must do it. It's like a hedge that needs to be trimmed or it's going to block out the light and everything in your house will die. I was watching TV a second ago and I'm seeing a lot of dudes whose brows either didn't need any waxing or they went sick with the wax. I've been seeing pencil thin Agnes Moorehead. That was the mother of Sabrina in Samantha, I should say, in Bewitched.
Sure.
I'm seeing eyebrows that look like my grandmother's eyebrows on dudes.
Yes, the aforementioned Rico Rodriguez, the fighter.
Yes.
His eyebrows are way over Manscaped.
Yeah, and then what about the guy who did all the killing in DeKalb? Did you see that dude's eyebrows? And by the way, DeKalb, heartland. You know what I mean? This guy is from DeKalb, Illinois. He's from Northern Illinois, everybody. That is not exactly Rodeo Drive. I understand when you turn on the TV and you see a guy who took it a step too far and he's on MTV. Well, at least there's a camera in his face. The only camera this guy's ever seen is during his mugshot, and that's before he went on his killing spree.
Maybe he knew you know, he's going to be photographed.
I am saying I'm looking at a guy on Fox News, or I was looking at a guy a few moments ago, a correspondent that was way too manscaped. The killer in DeKalb is way too manscaped. Look.
Can't profile.
I'll give Bruce Jenner a pass.
What?
The guy was the world's greatest athlete. He's on TV now, and he somehow has some body dysmorphic disorder or something, so be it. But we're having regular folks in the middle of the country going crazy with the brow waxing. And again, I'm not against the brow waxing. I have to do it on occasion. I have to do it for two good reasons. A, my eyebrow would fuse together if I didn't. And B, I'm on television. So thus, I must do it. It's the same reason I'm not 400 pounds right now. If I just did a radio show and I was never going to walk out on the stage at Oprah or Dancing with the Whatevers, I would immediately start bulking up to get morbidly obese. I am seeing almost every third guy I see on TV, and not TV correspondents per se, just regular folk guys, way too much manscaping. And again, if it's growing down your nose, so be it. But what's the super skinny part? And then the end of the eyebrow, it needs to turn down. It can't just go straight across like you're some sort of Japanese anime character. What the hell is going on, T?
I'm with you.
Are you being bumped and creeped,
yes,
too?
Yes, I can't. Rico Rodriguez's eyebrows are creeping me out. The DeKalb shooter, same thing.
Right.
If you have hairs in between, you got to pluck those.
But
that's fine.
Fine.
And if you have the long eyebrow hairs like Sam Waterston, you got to trim them.
Right.
That's it.
I grew up watching Matt Dillon have hair grow all the way down his nose, and he was the sexiest 19-year-old on the planet. Like, the greatest heartthrob of the 80s had one eyebrow and it went all the way down his nose. That's how different it was back then. Now we have serial killers from DeKalb getting the man brow, the bro wax, the bro brow.
Do you just do your own plucking, or do you have it done?
I used to just do my own plucking, and then somebody told me, why don't you just go and get it done?
Dude, are you gay?
And to be to be fair about my gay brow procedure, I never do it unless I have something. If somebody says you're going to be on this show or you're going to be doing this series, then I'll go do it. I just let it run wild in between those times and do occasionally some of my own plucking. Look, it's embarrassing. I'm not proud of it. But I will have one huge caterpillar crawling across my forehead.
You're gay for saying that.
It's the same reason I had my teeth whitened. It's like I drink red wine and I drink coffee and my teeth aren't this white. And the guy to my right, who's on the TV show with me, had his teeth whitened. And the guy who's on the left had his teeth whitened. And now I must have my teeth whitened. It's just one of those pitfalls or one of those whatevers of the trade. All I'm saying is
you're a homo.
Please start focusing on TV, everyone, and see all this weird civilian guys getting the brow that goes straight across their head. What's going on? All right, we'll take ourselves a break. T-Bone?
Yes?
The news. What's coming up in it?
Clinton and Obama locked horns last night.
Mm-hmm.
I think our next president needs to be a lot less hat and a lot more cattle.
Mm-hmm. We'll take a quick break. Back with that next.
Creator John Langley.
I'm taking off. Get your hands out.
Joel McHale joins us to play some clips from this week's The Soup.
F*** you. Get the thing together, f*** you.
And we'll hang out with Adam's former partner, late night talk show host, Jimmy Kimmel.
You remember that show, The Man Show? And you remember that guy? I wasn't really looking for him. But you remember that guy who wasn't me, Adam Carolla?
Teresa Strasser delivers the news.
You guys are being C-words. I'm trying to get through this.
Sorry, what's going on?
Powered by MSN.com. Have you been to MSN today? Call 866-901-ADAM and stream the Adam Carolla Show at AdamCarolla.com.
Comedian and radio host Adam Carolla.
And now, Adam Carolla.
That was weird. T-Bone.
Yes?
What's in the news, baby girl?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
This headline brought to you by our content partner, MSN.com. Senators Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama locked horns last night in Longhorn Country. The first question that Democratic presidential candidates fielded during their debate in Austin, Texas, was about Cuba after Fidel Castro. Clinton said she would only meet with Cuba's new leaders under certain conditions. Obama, on the other hand, said he would be willing to take part in talks without any preconditions as long as there was ample preparation. Wow. Obama also added U.S.-Cuba policy has been a failure and should be revised.
I'd love to have been up on that stage. I'd be like, Cuba? Well, 10 seconds after I'm sworn in, I start a carpet bombing campaign, and we open the world's coolest Costco. Come on, people. Who's with me? Come on, put your hands together. That's right. It will no longer be Cuba. It'll be called Costco Island. Awesome stuff. You'll be able to buy Zodiac boats so you can get your crap back to Florida.
Recently, Barack Obama...
In a chub pack. 13-pack of Zodiac inflatable boats. Thank you.
Barack Obama has faced allegations that he plagiarized some parts of his speech. Here, Hillary Clinton addresses that. The audience, not on her side.
You know, lifting whole passages from someone else's speeches is not change you can believe in. It's change you can Xerox. And well, I just don't think. No, but, you know, but Barack, it is. Because if, you know, if you look.
A little bit of booing.
I like it. Look, people are tired of all the sniping and all the underhanded remarks. They want people to stay on topic. I like it.
I do, too. Here he is, Barack Obama, fully addressing the plagiarism accusations.
The notion that I had plagiarized from somebody who's one of my national co-chairs, who gave me the line and suggested that I use it, I think is silly.
I think the crowd's into Barack.
Yeah, I think so, too. At a certain point, the moderator, Campbell Brown, asks Hillary Clinton to clarify her view on Obama, whether he's all message and no meat. Here is that.
Are you saying that your opponent is all hat and no cattle? And can you say that after the last 45 minutes?
Well, I have said that about President Bush, and I think our next president needs to be a lot less hat and a lot more cattle.
Well, I addressed a big swinging black caucus just the other night.
How was that?
Don't mess with Texas.
I got TMJ, actually, from it. But I talked so
talked
much.
Talked a lot.
Yeah,
yeah,
I talked a lot. It hurt my jaw.
This is a big black caucus.
Oh,
it
goes
loudly.
On and goes on and goes on. But they firmly throw their caucus behind Barack.
Not Hillary.
No.
No.
Although they said they tried that once in college. Not for them.
Not their thing.
Not their thing. So, again, as I bid adieu to the tremendous black caucus, I gave a tip of the cap and a wipe of the face, and I was off.
Here's a story.
You ever met anyone in the big swinging black caucus?
I've met a few people in the big black caucus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and... you know, always surprising.
They're going to be elated when Barack becomes the first president of color in the United States. And who knows? Their caucus may grow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, there's going to be a period of a couple months when everything is very happy and easy and we welcome our new black president. Then things could get very hard.
The refractory period. And then comes into the difficult, hard part of the black caucus.
Yes, the very hard, hard part.
Mm-hmm. Swelling with pride.
Yeah, they're swelling with pride.
Oftentimes in the morning.
Yes.
Yes, they're beaming. The following morning.
The following morning after the election.
The following morning after Barack is this country's 157th president. 56th, whatever.
Close enough.
Whatever, whatever. The point is they will be gushing.
Gushing.
The black caucus will be gushing
first
with pride.
First they'll swell with pride.
That's right.
And then gush with pride. As my people say, kvelling.
And all Hillary Clinton can do is duck and get out of the way. Sorry, T, go ahead.
Texas and Ohio, very important. Many people are saying it's Clinton's last stand.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to make it there. It's do or die.
Mm.
Here's a story about a 13-year-old boy who had some misadventures on MySpace.
Mm-mm.
His name has not been released.
Recruited into the Black Caucus? They do use MySpace for that.
They do.
Mm.
No.
That's why you got to monitor that computer.
Yeah, he's actually too young to join the big black caucus.
All right.
You don't want Chris Hansen showing up at your caucus.
You don't
meetings.
Want a member. You don't want that member at your door.
That's
you're
one
naked.
Member you don't want. Chris Hansen cannot join. 13-year-old boy in the eighth grade at an Ohio middle school. Mm-hmm. By the way, Ohio in the news yesterday because that guy got his 19th DUI.
Mm-hmm. And all over our show this morning.
Yeah.
Three calls in a row from Ohio.
This kid, 13, he got suspended for the rest of the year from school.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he didn't care for his principal, a man named Jeff Cook. Now, when we were kids, he didn't like the principal. Maybe you wrote something on the bathroom wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but imagine if Ray was at his prime, your buddy Ray, mm-hmm. in the age of MySpace, and if he could figure out how to use it.
Mm.
The evil doings.
Yeah, but it's like saying, imagine if a chimpanzee was the czar of Russia during...
Teresa.
I mean, you know what I mean? This is a very hyper-hypothetical here.
Well,
this is a hyper-hypothetical.
He would be negotiating here. With the Republic of Georgia by just throwing feces.
Yes, Ray can't work a computer now, and he's 44 years of age. Look, what Ray did... At the school level is much worse than this kid ever did. I saw him throw a softball bat at Mr. Tompkins.
Wow. Did he make contact?
No, actually threw a softball bat at Mrs. Parker. Excuse me.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, she called him
contact.
Out. No.
This young man hated his principal,
mm-hmm.
so he created a phony MySpace page pretending to be Mr. Cook.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Cook's interests were having sex with students and pleasuring himself in his office.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Cook,
check.
According to his MySpace page, had a naughty novelty called the Purple Penetrator.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Cook's favorite movies?
Mm-hmm.
All gay porn.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff. How old is this kid?
13.
It's
kind of a genius. I wish we could get his name. We could have him on.
Jackal should hire this kid on.
If we
bring back Crank Anchors for a sixth season, we're going to need someone to run that show. Jimmy and I are busy.
MySpace asks for your heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mr. Cook's heroes were Michael Jackson, Saddam Hussein, and Adolf Hitler.
I'd like to be Michael Jackson kissed into that trio.
Yeah. He kissed in, yeah.
Hey, buddy, it's when they stop mentioning you with Adolf Hitler and
Hussein.
And Hussein. That's when you got to fire your publicist.
Mr. Cook found his MySpace page, and he had MySpace take it down. He then had the kid suspended for 80 days through the end of the school year. Now, you would think the boy's parents, whose names are Toder and Mariana Osan, would be furious, if not outright embarrassed.
Toder Osan?
Toder Osan is his
Toder Osan
dad.
Sounds like when two companies get together. Like, Osan is the largest maker of toaster ovens in Korea.
Right.
And then they get together with...
Toder.
Now, Toder makes golf carts.
Sure.
Toder Osan got together to start making smart cars or something like electric. Like, it just seems like two huge companies got together. Where are you working?
I'm a Toder Osan.
Oh, you're Toder Osan?
Yeah.
I was there. When were you there? I was there in the late 90s.
No. I left before that.
Just before.
I mean, like, right before that. Did you know Bob Johnson over in accounting?
We golfed all the time.
Oh.
Jesus Christ, I saw the Toder Osan windbreaker, but I just figured someone gave it to you. I didn't know you earned it. Awesome.
A lot of layoffs lately at Toder Osan.
Yeah, it's tough over there.
You know?
Yeah.
They brought in a consultant from Dunder Mifflin.
Downsized. Downsized. And the big black caucus is outraged, by the way.
Well, they're getting behind this.
A lot of members let go, yeah.
Yeah, they're getting behind. They support labor.
So what did the parents do?
The parents have filed a lawsuit against the school district saying their son's right to free speech has been violated. They claim their son had every right to do what he did.
Goddamn enablers. You see what we're raising here? Back in the day, my dad would have taken that mouse, whipped it around like a slingshot from the Bible, and just started whipping me with it.
I just found Toder Osan's phone number.
Oh,
in case
really?
You wanted to call him later.
Start smacking your kids, everybody.
Come on, tell them that.
You're creating little monsters. And then these monsters are unleashed in the form of motorists and neighbors and coworkers. And now we have to deal with the little enabled monsters you created. All right.
At least he did it in a clever way.
Yes. I would argue it was clever. How is it that easy to find out who set up your false MySpace page?
Very easy. Yeah.
It okay. Must have been interesting around the principal's house. Honey? Do you have a MySpace page?
Yeah, I do. All my hobbies are on there.
I'm looking at it, and this isn't the man I married.
Well, it's the man I am, so get used to it. I put him on right, and I'm thinking my hobbies are bass fishing and working with underprivileged kids is what I think it says, right?
I know you like Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Thriller's one of the best, not only best album, but one of the greatest pieces of creativity ever.
But one of your heroes?
Mm-hmm.
And to have him up there with Saddam Hussein.
Sweetie, I can't hear you. The TV's on too loud. Just, if it's on the page, it's on the man. Good enough. Let's move forward. T-Bone?
Oscars are coming up.
Had not heard.
Huge Sunday because the Oscars are going to be great this year. Can't wait. Love Jon Stewart. And later that night, it's a very special Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Could have went to dinner with Jon Stewart last night.
Why didn't you? Dancing.
I am so... I spent so much time out of the house yesterday. I did the show, then I did a bunch of dance practice. Then I went.
Did you ever think you would utter that?
No. Then I did. I mean, I thought I would dance if. Here's the only circumstances
under
which.
If somebody was shooting at your feet.
That's what I was going to say. If I built a time machine and went back to the Old West and some guy came out, some angry drunk miner yelled, "Dance!" And he starts firing a six shooter at my feet and I started dancing. That. It's the only circumstance under which I thought I would dance.
Brian will know. What's the movie? Is it Boogie Nights?
What happened?
Where the guy's shooting at his feet and he has to keep jumping.
No, he's throwing firecrackers and it is Boogie Nights.
Oh, yeah, then it's Alfred Molina.
Right.
But they're just one of the greatest scenes in movies, period. In a movie or any movie, that scene with Alfred Molina in Boogie Nights. But he's just tossing firecrackers and scaring the crap out of everybody.
Guy's dancing, though.
Well, they're really being rattled is what they're doing.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute.
We might have it. The point is, I never thought I'd be going to dance practice, but I went to dance practice, and then I went and did somebody's show.
You know what song's playing during that scene?
The Motorin'. Yes. Oh, one of the greatest scenes in movies.
And the song made it super creepy.
I went to do a buddy of mine, Jordan Rubin's, live show last night. One of those things where I promised a month in advance. And then I got a call. Talk about a booth. I got a call from James Baby Doll Dixon at 9 o'clock, about 9:15 last night.
That's your agent.
Yeah. And he said, hey, me and Jimmy and John Stewart, Sarah Silverman, and Huey Lewis are all over here at this bar. Come on down, buddy. And I was like looking at my clock in the car, and it was like 9:18, and I hadn't really been home yet, and all I wanted to do was have a cocktail and watch a little TV before
I
cashed.
Huh? Your wife, Lynette, beautiful wife.
Yeah. She was having a summit with the Black Caucus at that point, so she said not to come home before 9:30. I just said, screw it. It's going to be one of those things where you do that one cocktail thing, but the music's playing loud and you're yelling, and next thing you know, it's three cocktails, and then you're driving home drunk. All right, so I just drove home, but that's a good group.
Oh, well, I'm glad you mentioned Kimmel, because after the Oscars, big day for Baby Doll, by the way, after his client Jon Stewart hosts the Oscars, then his other client Jimmy Kimmel will have the special post-Oscar show, you know, a lot of eyes on ABC, and he's going to do the retort to I'm Effing Matt Damon, which you have secrets about,
yes.
I'm sure, but you cannot reveal them now.
Well, I don't want to step on it. And by the way, you shouldn't want me to step on
it. I don't.
People do a lot of that. What'd you give me for Christmas 2 days before Christmas? Don't you want to open the package and be surprised? Do you really want me to just tell you I got you a barbecue and assemble it for you in the living room 3 days before Christmas?
I'll go you one further. When we were going ring shopping, I told Batman, don't want to know, don't want to have any idea. I just want to be surprised. I'm going to love anything you give me.
Right.
Don't want to know anything about it.
My problem is I carry that to such an extent in my relationships where my wife will be like, you don't know your daughter's middle? Nope.
Surprise me. At the college graduation, when you hear the name.
Whatever.
Or high school.
That's right. However it goes. That's right. If she gets that far in her education.
George,
what else you got, T-Bone?
George Clooney is nominated for an Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
He says that he and Hillary Clinton have something in common this year. They both have no shot at overcoming the competition. He told Time magazine that he thinks Daniel Day-Lewis will beat him for best actor at Sunday night's Oscars. Clooney is nominated for Michael Clayton. Day-Lewis nominated for There Will Be Blood. He said, quote, for me, it's like being Hillary Clinton. If it weren't for Barack Obama, it would have been a very good year.
It is one of those things, and it comes down to this with everything. Oscars, Super Bowls, sporting events, everything else. it's half what you did and then half what the other guy did and when he chose to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone's going to beat Daniel Day-Lewis this year. Clooney may have won 7 out of 10 years, but not this year. I mean, for this particular performance, yeah. He's not going to beat this guy on this particular day.
There was
just like nobody's going to beat what's his
Javier
nose.
Bardem.
Nobody's going to beat him for their
supporting
will. I'm sorry for
No Country
for Old Men. No one's going to beat him for that.
Absolutely. Well, Clooney claims to be.
He should win male and female.
I think so too.
Although, he should win best actress for that too.
Yeah, I'd hate to take it from Tilda Swinton, who I think's going to win.
No.
The more I sort of think about it, you get a good idea for movies as you go on, and I've decided Michael Clayton most overrated movie of the year.
It ties up too neatly, but it's very tautly made.
It's fine. It's by the numbers.
I'm going to go with Bald Brian and go with Teresa both on this one, like any good politician sitting in between two different parties.
Well,
which
you're in the Big Black Caucus.
It's a very well-done version of a movie that has been made many times before. It's a very well-executed, whereas No Country for Old Men is not a movie we've ever seen before.
Sprawling and brilliant.
The Michael Clayton movie is a slickly done, interesting sort of glimpse behind the curtain of the big law firm. It's a movie that's done twice a decade for the last 4 decades, and this is up there with many other ones that have been done very nicely, well executed, but not an interesting or original enough premise,
It's a great cover song. It's great, but it's someone else's tune.
I totally agree, but the acting was so superior that it elevated it slightly.
I wouldn't bring it down to that. I wouldn't bring it down quite. I don't think you're being fair enough to it, but I don't think it's in the same class. Like, to me, there's movies that are good movies, and then there's Raising Arizona. Or there's Spinal Tap, or there's No Country for Old Men. They're movies that break the mold.
Sure.
Like you go, I've never seen anything close to this movie before. That's what I like. And to me, that's an important element of Best Picture.
Right.
Sorry,
I agree. I will leave you with this. George Clooney claims to be an expert Oscar handicapper. He says he has never lost an Oscar pool. So if you're interested, here are a couple of his picks. And most people are picking this. No Country for Old Men for Best Picture. We all agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks the directors, Joel and Ethan Coen, will share the Best Director trophy.
Mm.
And Javier Bardem will snag Best Supporting Actor. He also has Amy Ryan for Best Supporting Actress over Tilda Swinton for Gone Baby Gone.
Ah, heard that was a great movie. Did not see it.
Me either. I'm Teresa Strasser. And that's the news brought to you by MSN.com. Have you gone to MSN today?
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser.
Let's keep an eye on young Jason Reitman, though.
Oh.
Dark Horse and Juno.
You know what I read?
Was he nominated? He was.
He's nominated.
Yeah. Like the darkest of dark horses.
I think it's obviously not going to be the
dark. I don't know about the darkest. I mean, Juno was a very well put together movie.
From the opening credits, you knew it was stylish and different.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad, I think, has made, 15 movies, never been nominated for directing.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid.
He was robbed when he did Evolution. 7 years ago.
A lot of people saying that.
Digging deep.
But this Jason Reitman is, I mean, I loved Thank You for Smoking and I love Juno.
Kid is a prodigy and nice as the day is long. I just sent him a nice ass kiss and email just the other day.
Nice work.
All right. We will take ourselves a break. When we come back, Cops creator John Langley in studio. One of the longest running shows on TV now.
20th anniversary. That's why we're having them in. Big 20th anniversary DVD, the whole thing.
20 years nonstop running of Cops.
Since March 1989.
By the way, Cops is one of these shows that I don't seek out, but if I pass it, I stop.
Right.
And then I don't tune out until they tackle the black guy on the lawn. That's the way it works.
So you watch for 2.5 minutes and then
then I move on. No, I love, you know what I love? I love when the cops have to run. Because they're chasing guys that are high on crack and 103 pounds and were on the track team in high school. And these guys have all been eating donuts and they're dragging along Batman's utility belt with the cops have 80 pounds worth of keys that they wear. And for some reason, they make them wear weird shoes.
The shoes, I was about to say. Why don't Calvin get to wear, like, yeah, the cross trainers?
They should be wearing Air Huaraches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead, they're wearing these big things with steel shanks and steel toes.
Shiny and polished.
Yes, how important is it that the cop have an oil-resistant sole on his boot? So this guy's, like, chugging along, and he's carrying an extra spare tire, and he's got 40 pounds of keys and mace around his belt. Flag that. The great part is when he's running, and by the way, he's breathing so hard, he's inhaling his cop mustache. And then, even though he's out of wind, he has to pull that move where he talks into his talkie, because what cops do is they go, I'm not going to chase this crackhead down myself. I'm going to call ahead to another fat guy, and he'll be waiting for the crackhead when he gets there. But even on the run, and even short of breath, they still do the extra cop talk. Hey, 10-4, I'm a male Caucasian, approximately 30 years of age. What I'm going to need you to do for me right now is go ahead and, okay, just go ahead and hit him off at the end of the alley, okay, right now. I'm going to... I've inhaled a red mustache. Okay, right now, what I'm going to need... Bert, are you on the other line right now? Yeah, 10-4, okay. What I'm going to need you to do for me, okay, right now, is to go ahead for me, okay, right now, is go ahead and position yourself at the end of the alley, okay, right now. Okay, so what I'm going to do is what I'm going to need you to do for me, okay, right now, is to go ahead and get a crash cart and put some paddles on me, okay, right now. Okay, what I'm going to need you to do for me, okay, right now, is to go ahead for me, okay, right now, and to go ahead and yell clear, okay, right now. And what I'm going to do is go ahead and restart my heart, okay, right now. Okay, heart, what I'm going to need you to do for me, okay, right now, is to go ahead and start beating again, okay, right now, and mouth. What I'm going to need you to do is to go ahead and spit out the red mustache I've inhaled, okay, right now. Lip, okay, right now. What I'm going to need you to do for me, okay, right now, is to go ahead and reattach your mustache to your upper lip, okay, right now. Okay, what I'm going to need is a medevac helicopter, okay, right now, because I've ran 10 feet from my cruiser and I've collapsed in front of the camera, okay, right now.
Very detailed instructions. Yeah, so that guy's coming in next.
Well, I'm just saying the long-winded talk in a circle cop talk is great when they're pulling you over and they don't want you to talk. But when they're out of breath and speaking their last breath into the talkie, it is a backbreaker. Okay, what I'm going to need to do, okay, I'm going to need to go ahead and hover above my bloated body, okay, right now, and go ahead and have my life flash in front of my eyes, okay, right now. Hey, partner, come down. Okay, what I'm going to need you to do for me, okay, right now, is to go ahead and lean in close to me, and then I'm going to whisper in your ear, okay, right now. Okay, right now, what I'm going to need you to do is to say goodbye to my oldest son, okay, and his younger brother right now. Actually, the middle son, right, and then last son now. So, okay, right now, my three sons. And then what I'm going to need you to do for me is, okay, right now, is to go ahead and say goodbye to my wife, okay, right now, and explain to her that I love her, okay, okay, right now. Okay. What I'm going to need you to do is to go ahead and, I have a locket around my neck, okay, right now. I'm going to need you to present that to my wife, all right? And again, my oldest son, okay, my middle son, right, my young son now, okay, right now? Okay. Where was I?
Last words turn into a 45-minute soliloquy.
I just love extra cop talk. We will bring in the creator of Cops, okay, right now? Right after this.
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
I gotta show you $20.
$20 bill. I gave her a $20 bill.
What kind of drugs are you wanting to buy?
Rock.
Rock.
Yes, I was.
You gave her $20 back.
I gave her $20. She gave me some plaster.
And now you want your $20 back.
Yes,
because she didn't supply you with crack cocaine.
And now the creator of Cops, John Langley, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, John Langley.
Hey, great being here, Adam.
Well, the show has become more than a TV show. It's part of the fabric of America. Sadly, when people look back on this time, you know, hundreds of years from now, Cops will be, and people don't do this anymore, but if you buried one of those time capsules from the last 10 years, you'd throw in this Cops 20-year DVD set in there, wouldn't you?
Oh, I would. I was just talking to John. I find this very interesting. Cops was actually sort of born out of the last writer's strike.
Oh, yeah, that's the only time they would take a show that had no writers.
There was no programming. So John Langley has to come up with an idea that doesn't use writers, and it was kind of the first reality show in some ways.
Yeah, I think we were one of the pioneers, one of the trailblazers instead of a trail follower.
Now, that was an 1988 strike?
Yeah, the 88 strike. Went on for like 6 or 7 months.
Mm-hmm. And what did this last one go on for, about three and a half, yeah. somewhere in there? So this one went on twice as long. This Cops was born. What was the first city? Was it somewhere in Florida?
Was it Broward County, Florida.
Shocking.
Yeah, are you shocked?
Shocking. I didn't know there was any crime at all in Florida.
You know, back in the 80s, there was a little bit.
Really?
It had to do with that white powder stuff.
Do tell. Totally different time. Yeah, so you go to, I feel like, it feels like every third episode is somewhere in Florida.
Well, you know, it's warm weather, Adam. You got to go where it's warm. That's why so many people are shirtless.
Has there ever been any trouble, and I'm sure there has been, I mean, the cops jump out of the cruiser, the cameraman jumps out of the cruiser, the cameraman is trying to keep up with the cops, they're running through people's backyards. I feel like the cameraman is going to literally get clotheslined by a clothesline, or some neighbor with a shotgun is going to see a guy with a camera running through his yard.
It's the dogs you got to watch out.
The dogs,
out.
Right.
You go running through a yard chasing after a cop who's chasing after a perp. And by the way, they run faster because they're crackheads. Come on.
Right, yes.
Dinner, you know? Sped up.
No, so I know.
Give the cops a break.
No, I know. So they, has a cameraman, what's the worst that's ever happened to a cameraman? Man on Cops. And by the way, those guys are the real heroes because they don't have guns or pepper spray or anything,
right?
I think
they get hazard pay. If I'm guessing, they make more than
a typical well paid,
day rate.
Very well paid. But, you know, you burn through them like, a chain smoker with cigarettes. They come and go fast.
They burn out quick.
They really burn out because they see a lot of stuff that, you know, you and I don't really want to see.
Well, on a serious note, when you're seeing a woman who's strung out on crack cocaine and she has 5 kids and they're screaming in the house and they're dragging mama from the house, I mean, it's got to take its toll, not only on the cops, but the guy who's capturing
absolutely.
The events.
And then all those dogs nipping at your heels while you're running through the backyards.
Yeah.
And then, as you say, all the clotheslines that we've had a lot of guys clothesline.
Really? Literally clothesline?
Any serious injuries?
We had one guy that was a brand new cameraman, a great cameraman, and he came on the show and he said, I'm so hot to shoot this show. And I said, okay, just watch your back. You know, you got to be a little careful. You got to be street smart. So he goes out with a sound man who was experienced. But he got in the middle of a little mini riot, a big party that went out of control. And somebody hit him in the head with a 2x4.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is it hit the camera, just shattered the camera, and it kind of cushioned the blow. So he, you know, had a few days of being dizzy. But
can we see that footage on Cops 25th Anniversary Edition?
Well, the camera was broken, see?
Right. So you see the 2x4, as you would say, coming towards
him. Well, no, he was blindsided, so you didn't even get to see that. That's what I told him. I said, where's the footage?
Sure, bottom line.
Well, John, here's the question you've probably been asked a million times. Mm-hmm. How do you convince people to sign a release?
Well, it's for the greater glory of Cops. Come on. No, we get them to sign because at this stage of the game, Cops is kind of part of pop culture. Everybody knows the song. Even if you haven't seen the show, you've heard of it. You know, it's a little like Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, hell
Are
yeah.
Are you a fan?
I watch it now and then. I'm sort of like Adam. If I'm cruising along and I come across it, I'll watch some. I'll watch it now, obviously.
Well, thank you, John Langley, creator of Cops, 20th Anniversary out on DVD as we speak. Can I ask you this? Those people now, see, it's a weird thing, Teresa, because if you go out with a camera and you shoot people, then you have to get them to sign off. But if you go set up a house and you're going to bust pedophiles, if you're Chris Hansen, the guys who come into the house obviously don't need to sign off. Otherwise, a very charismatic man.
That's considered
because
they want a
pedophile to sign off if they don't have to. Now, what's different about Chris Hansen and what you do?
Right.
I thought you guys sort of fell under that umbrella and the other umbrella. Which I would always scream at when we did the man shows. We'd do a man on the street thing. Some guy'd come by, give us the finger, whatever. We'd argue with him. He wouldn't sign off, and it was really funny. We couldn't use it, but the Girls Gone Wild folks would head down to Daytona Beach and have chicks pulling their tops off, and they didn't have to sign off. when they were doing the big crowd stuff, right. And it was like someone told me that was a documentary.
Yeah, news gathering has different rules.
News gathering does not require releases from
Here's
anybody.
My argument. I cannot masturbate to news. If I hear about a ferry turning over in the Philippines, I rare. Okay,
a
all right.
Hot
bad example.
Has
bad
example.
Bad example. But the point is, what umbrella did you guys fall under? The Chris Hansen one, or the Girls Gone Wild one, or neither one?
They had to get a release.
We got to get releases on everything. We don't have the latitude that the news does. And I always was a little irritated by that because we had to go out and be more stringent than the news. And then the news or other people get all holier than thou about shows like Cops. Hey, everybody on Cops signs willingly. Nobody's
coerced. But is there a
coerced.
Special trick to getting someone? Let's just say someone's just been in a bar fight. Maybe they're intoxicated. There's blood coming out of their head. Their shirt's off.
Yeah, here's the trick.
Here's the deal.
Here's a pack of cigarettes.
You can't get them to sign if they're drunk because it's not a valid release.
Yeah, they can't.
You got to wait till they sober up. So, I mean, we go above and beyond the call. You can't get a drunk to sign or somebody that's jacked up on drugs.
Right.
Because it's not valid.
I can't. I'm constantly trying.
You're not a sound mind.
I'm constantly exactly. trying to figure this out. But if you went to the bathroom, Teresa,
I know.
But if hypothetically ever did, and I took a camera and hung it over the stall door and watched you do your business, I could then sell it on DVD. And there's really nothing you could do about it.
She could sue you.
She could sue me, but the court, like, if you then went to a judge and said, hey, Adam's going to release a DVD of me making a number two, he'd say, my hands are tied.
Well, here's the deal, Adam. It would be newsworthy in her case because she doesn't go to the bathroom. So.
Oh, interesting.
Thank you. If you work for Dateline.
Breaking news.
If you work for Dateline and you were doing a news story, a sting on, you know, whether I'm lying when I say that I don't go number two.
Yes.
And then you taped it. That could be a valid news story if you worked for Dateline.
All I'm saying is there are things you need people's consent for. And then there's other things that evidently doesn't need consent. And it doesn't seem to make a difference logically. It doesn't make sense.
Well,
to me, the cops, these are
cops,
criminals.
Listen, yeah. If you work for cops, you'd have to slide the release under the stall for her to
right.
sign.
And
so
are there the ones that got away? Are there a bunch of great just criminal activity that you would love to have put on your television program they just wouldn't sign off on?
Oh, yeah. That happens. You know, it doesn't happen that often anymore because everybody knows the show and they say things like, get that damn news camera away from me. And you go, we're not with the news, we're with cops. And they say, cool, my cousin was on the show.
What are some of the very best busts that you have on this DVD?
Oh, God. You know, people ask me this, and I would say the naked burglar wrestling with police officers. That was a pretty good one.
That sounds good.
The truck driver in leotards, the one-legged police officer chasing the suspect.
Definitely
and
not a
catching
Jew.
Them.
Oh, really?
And catching them.
Well, the one-legged guys, you know, I mean, they got that special leg, like made by...
He had a prosthetic leg, right? And he was motating down the road. He caught the suspect.
John, what were you producing before this?
I did, in the mid-80s, I did a bunch of Geraldo Rivera two-hour specials, like live drug busts and all that kind of stuff.
Al Capone's vault?
Not me. I didn't do that one.
Smart.
It's the only one I didn't do.
You did that one live. Have you ever seen Potting Soil live? It is awesome.
And here we are, another empty
Next,
bottle.
Next, watching paint dry, a four-hour special.
He opened a door and it was just a room filled with dirt. It was awesome.
Hey, there were a couple of empty bottles.
All right, let's be fair. Maybe you did work on that one, John.
No, I didn't.
So now, John Langley, are you set for life? You know, I don't want to get into your personal finances, but do you need to work again because of Cops?
Well, here's the deal. I'm not on Dancing with the Stars or anything, but I've done pretty well so far, kid.
And is there any end in sight? Or as long as there's cops, as long as there's cameras, as long as there's criminals, we'll have a show known
as
Cops.
Well, you know,
Cops.
We just got renewed, so there will be a 21st season. And you know, we're doing other shows like Jail, which is on my network TV, which is kind of the next stage of Cops. You arrest them and then you film them in jail.
Sure.
And we have another show called Street Patrol, also on my network TV.
Well,
Tuesday nights, by the way.
It should, you know, I don't think it's exploitative. I think it would discourage people. I mean, when I see footage of guys in prison, I think I that there's a place I never want to go. It's sort of scared straight brought to everyone's living room.
Oh yeah, if you look at some of these jail shows, for example, you don't want to go to jail. There's some weird stuff going on in there.
Right. Yeah, I completely concur, and that's why I'm going to raise my son on nothing but cops and jail shows. That's it. He's going to think 90% of the populace
is... I want to watch
Caillou.
Hey, Caillou? Okay. Sonny, you know what I'm going to need you to do for me right now, son? So go ahead and sit yourself down on the love seat there and go ahead and watch Cops for me, okay, right now? Caillou, what I'm going to need you to do is go ahead and take your fingers, intertwine them, put them behind your bald back, please, there, and go ahead. I'm going to need you to go ahead and spread your legs there, son. Caillou. Okay, we got a runner. What I'm going to need to do is go ahead and pepper spray you, Caillou, on your bald head so you can writhe in pain in front of your Caillou and parents with the weird hair who are drawn in Canada where evidently they don't have human beings to model their drawings after. Okay, right now?
This cop has varied interests.
Stupid Caillou. They're watching goddamn Caillou all day. Kids won't eat unless they're watching Caillou. What? I mean... John Langley made a huge mistake. Oh. I put TiVo in my kitchen. And the kids won't eat unless they're watching Caillou or Curious George.
Oh, man.
So now I have to watch Caillou. As an adult man of 43 years, I have to sit there and eat my dietetic pizza to Caillou every night.
And then there's
night.
That one character that completely freaks out Sonny.
There's the black kid in the wheelchair that my son doesn't like.
This helps you
like.
Get up early, doesn't it? It helps you in the workplace.
I'm in my chair. Showing people doing things in his chair, and he's going around the world in his chair.
How's the song go?
I can't remember how it goes. Paul Bryan can find it. All right, point is whether it's the black kid in the wheelchair or Caillou, either way, I'm now forced to watch programming that's made for people that are under 3 years of age, so I get myself a cop fix that night, because I feel like that's adult watching.
Before we let you go, do you have any insight after your 20 years spent with cops, why they use so many extraneous words?
Well, maybe it's just cop talk. I don't know. It's like a little bit like perp talk. How many beers have you had tonight? Two.
Yeah.
Everybody has two beers.
Right.
They can
worst
be
answer.
Fall down drunk and well, they've had two beers.
What are some tells? I mean, just from being in the business, as long as you've been in the business, you get pulled over. Let's just say you went to the cop premiere party at the House of Blues and you put a few back, right?
Yeah.
Now you're driving home and you get pulled over by the West L.A. sheriff and he's shining the mag light in your face and he wants to know if you've been drinking tonight. What is your move at that point? The two beer answer doesn't
that
work.
That just doesn't fly. The other one is don't have a joint in your ear. Because that happens.
Or you do it like I do. You do the right ear.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you're in England.
If you do the left ear and you're driving and the cop walks out.
Joint the ear,
I
bad.
I got news for you. He's going to pluck it from your ear and cuff you. Mm-hmm. That's the way it works.
So take the joint out of the ear.
Take the joint out of the ear.
And go up to three beers. Or down
have
to one.
Four or five. I mean, just go for it. If you're going to say two beers.
But the two beer answer never works.
Never flies.
Right, because a guy who drank two beers would say, I haven't drank at all.
Yeah.
Better answer. You know, it's not to go blatant lie or just say, I'm drunker than a skunk. You know, they appreciate honesty. The cops will go, hey, you know, he fessed up. He's drunker than a skunk.
But when you see, you know, T, you get pulled over with a few Jamesons and a Vicodin in you. The cop pulls you over. You may have gotten off with light oral, except for the cameras from cops show up, and now the cop has to play by the book, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
See, that's your worst nightmare, the camera crew showing up, which means they might just go, look, you've had a few pops. How far do you live from here? I'm right on the next list. Just take it easy and drive. But you could not do that if your camera crew showed up,
we
right?
We had one of our field producers that was arrested for DUI a few years ago.
All caught on film?
He wasn't too smart about it.
Really?
He said, oh, I'm a producer of cops.
Oh, no. Had he had two beers?
They cuffed him and they took him to jail and they said, well, you know, maybe I'll look at producing jail now.
Now, coolest cops, yeah, you can produce some Pruno in the joint. Cool cops and tough cops, city to city. I don't want you to, sling any mud, but I'll get you started.
Okay.
I was driving with Jimmy Kimmel in New Orleans for some man show sightseeing thing for some Mardi Gras thing we did many years ago. Well, actually what happened is Tommy Lasorda dropped out of the Mardi Gras parade and we were his last minute fill-ins, except for they couldn't change the medallion on the beads we were throwing to everyone, which had Tommy Lasorda's face on it. So it would be like, hey, Man Show guys. And by the way, we had to dress up as pirates. And I was like, I don't understand why you have to dress up as a pirate. And it's like, this is the Mardi Gras. And I was like, was it invented by pirates? It's a parade. Dress like a pirate. Shut up and throw these Tommy Lasorda beads out. So we were in a cab. We were in a van. And we're going on a sightseeing tour. And this guy was driving. He was hauling ass. He was just driving fast. And I saw cops ahead of us. And we were on 35-mile-an-hour zone.
Sure.
And I, because I'm from L.A., and in L.A., when a cop drives 14 miles an hour in the freeway, you're scared to pass him. So I'm from L.A., and I start from the back seat. I spot the car. It's 100 yards ahead of us. I see the cop car. And I'm banging the guy on the shoulder going, hey, 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 cop, 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 cop. And he's still motoring along. He's doing 50 miles an hour and at 35. And I go, hey, buddy, cop, 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 11 o'clock, cop, cop. And the guy turned around. He said, they got bigger fish to fry than me. And we went right past the cops. And I said, oh, my God, I had this weird revelation. I thought, you mean there's actually cops in New Orleans that don't hassle law-abiding taxpayers for driving 8 miles an hour fast? Because I'm used to the chicken-ass tickets that the guys in Burbank hand out all day long to the people who pay their salaries,
well, you know,
by the way. So tell me the city, because for me it's got to be New Orleans.
Well, Louisiana's the Big Easy. I mean, you know, they're a little more relaxed about things.
Who's the chicken-ass? I mean, we know Burbank, California is by far the heavyweight champ of chicken-ass tickets.
Adam, dude, I live in this town.
In the world. And I'm not talking about in this country. I'm talking about on the planet Burbank, California, by far, hands down, heavyweight champion of chicken-ass tickets, 25 years running. But who's second?
Well, I've never had a ticket in Burbank.
Really?
So I
then you've never driven through Burbank. Because there's not a human being I know. As a matter of fact, the last time my wife got a ticket, she said, I got a ticket. I said, Burbank? She said, yeah, how'd you know? I said, that's where they hand out all the chicken-ass tickets. Yes, I got a jaywalking ticket in Burbank for walking in the crosswalk while the signal was green,
well,
by the way.
Well, that's because crime has been eradicated.
Evidently, there's no crime in the city of Burbank.
Did they have lights and sirens when they gave you your jaywalk?
The guy shot across on his bike the same direction
I had just walked.
I had just walked through the crosswalk, and I was standing on the other side. He shot across the same direction and wrote me.
It was a felony stop, right?
He wrote me a jaywalking ticket because he said the red light had started flashing before I stepped off the curb. Burbank. Oh no, Burbank number one, the number
take,
one place not to drive.
It.
But who's
right,
number
I'll
two? Who's number two? Because we know New Orleans is number one in the cool department,
yeah,
right?
That's a big easy.
How many jaywalking tickets you think they toss out in New Orleans each year?
I would say between zero and none.
Can I say this? Can I say that the city of Burbank, which is 4.5 miles by 4.5 miles, hands out more jaywalking tickets in one weekend than the state of Louisiana does in 5 years. Would you say that's a safe statement?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't take that bet. I think
all right.
Maybe you're right. Maybe
all right, so
right.
We should all move to Louisiana.
That's what I'm getting.
Well,
right?
You know, the South has a different kind of attitude.
They don't like raping people that pay taxes? Is that their attitude? That's a crazy attitude. That's a very slippery slope. You mean you don't want to rape the tax constituency? You're
next
not into raping citizens?
Next thing happens, you won't shoot them.
Oh, no. Then where would you be? Oh, listen, people. This is a very slippery slope. When guys are crossing small streets and not looking left, right, and left again, if you stop raping them, next thing you know, terrorists are opening up sleeper cells.
Well, if he had let you go, obviously you were about to go on a raping spree through Burbank, followed by a bank robbery.
Well, I was raped by the cops in Burbank because I fought the ticket and I won.
Ah, well, you were innocent.
Right, right, right. I won. I won 2 days of not being paid at work when I had to go to court.
Ticket,
that
right.
is a Pyrrhic victory. It cost more.
No, here's the deal. Burbank owes me $500 because I won the bet. See, yeah. I got a chicken ass ticket from a pussy cop, and they bet I wouldn't beat it, and I beat it, and now he lost the bet, and he needs to pay, because if I lost the bet, I would owe the city of Burbank $123.
I think if you beat the ticket, you should get the value of the ticket.
The value of the ticket.
Absolutely. I'll endorse that. That's big. That.
Thank you. All right. So Louisiana is where you want to go. Oh, yeah. Someone has written Culver City on the board. Yes, they do a lot of that.
Santa Monica
as well.
Hasn't been kind to me. I got my one and only moving violation from a female cop.
Santa Monica does. I'll tell you what Santa Monica does. Santa Monica does a lot of fundraising in their public parking areas, which is you can go to Santa Monica, feed the meter in the public parking area, pull up to your car, see 15 minutes left on the meter and have a ticket on your car because of no front license plate or expired tabs. They'll write tickets. As a matter of fact, as I've said, everyone leave the dealer plates on your car. I left the dealer plates. I've had the dealer plates on my car for over a year now. I'm not going to put the regular ones on because I was driving through Santa Monica and I saw the cops spin around. If you ever see a motorcycle cop pull a Huey in your rear view, that's for Huey.
You know, I'll tell you
brother.
A Santa Monica story. I got a ticket there.
Shocking!
Not too long ago.
What'd you do?
It was severe. I was a little over the speed limit. And so I tried the cool approach, right? I said, well, I should know better because I produced the show Cops.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's writing the ticket and he goes, oh, I love that show. Sign here.
Hey, you know what would be an interesting competition? You guys could do it on Cops. We take Burbank and Santa Monica and they have a rape off. Here's what we're going to do.
A write off.
We are going to line up. Hey, Santa Monica and Burbank. Hey, if you're the mayor or the police chief of Santa Monica, Burbank, I'll tell you what I think would be an awesome episode of Cops. We line up a whole bunch of hardworking tax-paying folks from your city, right? Then we have all your cops oil them up, and they just rape the bejesus out of them. And we see who can rape more taxpayers. Now, not criminals. That wouldn't be fair. They have to be law-abiding taxpayers who have jaywalked or driven without a front license plate. By the way, in the state they hail from, it's not illegal to drive with no front license plate, but that's not aside. You guys have a rape-off. I don't know. It's kind of weird because you think – I just said that Burbank was the rape the citizen capital of the world, but Santa Monica nipping at the heels. Hey, Burbank, the gauntlet has been laid down. Santa Monica's coming up fast. You better get with the raping.
Hmm? I got a ticket there. You know how two cars generally are supposed to be able to turn left?
Mm-hmm.
The left-hand turn lane.
Uh-huh.
There was no cars coming in the opposite direction, and I was the third car. There was no one coming. The light was still, you know, greenish. So I just followed. It was perfectly safe. I was the third car. And no, sirens, lights, the whole thing pulled me over.
Santa Monica?
Santa Monica.
Well, here's the thing, Santa Monica. As you drive in, it says it right there. Easy on hobos, tough on taxpayers.
That's their motto.
We love homeless folks, but we can't stand the people that pay for the goddamn parks where the homeless folks get to defecate in the shopping carts.
Yeah.
Awesome priorities, by the way.
As she was writing the ticket, a drifter peed on her shoes.
And she gave him Citizen of the Year.
Yeah. Oh, you're perfectly welcome.
Keys to the city. All right. Again, Santa Monica, you really need to take on Burbank. Go ahead. And Louisiana, you crack a beer and have a laugh at all of us being raped by the guys we pay. You know, it's one thing. It's one thing when you don't pay the people, but when you're actually physically paying the people that are writing you the chicken ass tickets, as they're writing you the chicken ass tickets, that's a twist of the knife in the gut there. Awesome. Yeah. I'm glad someone brought up Santa Monica because that place is getting worse by the day and tougher for people to get along. All right. We need to take ourselves a break. John Langley, I know you agreed with everything I just said.
Right? You did.
Well, you know, I do. I film crime. I don't film jaywalking.
Hey, head down to Santa Monica. It's a capital offense. Driving without a front license plate in Santa Monica is big news.
Cop Santa Monica.
Yeah.
Think about that series.
Yeah, hey, okay right now? Uh-huh. What do you got there? What do you got there, Jetta? I don't see any front license plate. I'm going to need backup. a helicopter, and I'm going to need a crash unit down here.
SWAT too.
What we got is a female Caucasian secretary, approximately 32 years of age, who's not driving, with a piece of tin strapped to her front bumper. I'm taking her down now, but I'm going to need pepper spray and backup on it. As a matter of fact, bring a judge down here, too. I want to go ahead and take apart the Jetta. I'm sure she's got that. She's either running, she's a coyote who's running Mexicans in from Tijuana, or she's got some nose candy in the boot of that Jetta. Let's go ahead and take care of that right now. That's right. Imagine driving with no front license plate through Santa Monica. Oh, the humanity. But again, if the one in Santa Monica is listening, the one who spun around on me and saw my dealer plate on the back and thus didn't need the front license plate, kiss my tax-paying ass.
We'll be right back.
You moron. All right. We'll take ourselves a break. John Langley, 20 years and still running of Cops. We'll take a quick break. Is Joel McHale here? We're going to do, I feel like I've been screaming this whole time. Hey, how about Teresa and Brian tell me the truth? Remember we did this when I was gone?
Yeah, when you were gone, we took the opportunity to talk about things we were afraid to say in front of you. I admitted I like cake.
Got some things
better than
pie.
Yeah, I admitted I like thick crust pizza.
Patriots fan over here.
Right. Yeah. All right. You guys have some more things you want to get off your chest?
Yes. I was hoping we would skip this entirely.
Oh, come on. I'm going to keep the yelling going. We'll do that next when Teresa and Bald Brian tell the truth.
Thursday, February 28th, live from the Palms Hotel and Resort, the Adam Carolla Show returns to Las Vegas.
That is the goddamn best story I've ever heard in my goddamn life.
Fueled by Miller Lite Rockin' Racing Weekend with Jim Beam, the official spirit of racing. With guests Wayne Brady and Robbie Gordon, plus a special Vegas round of gay walking.
In blackjack, face cards are worth how much?
Probably worth, I'd say $50,000.
And someone has a chance to win $50,000 with one spin of the roulette wheel. We call it Carolette. Clever, right? And then join us for a post-show party at the Spearman Rhino, Las Vegas, from 11 to 1 a.m.
Listen, strippers, you don't have to lie. I'm not going to ask any questions.
And if you can't make it, catch the rebroadcast Friday morning. Plus, stick around Friday night for the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. A reason to celebrate. Live at the Palms. Thursday the 28th, live in Las Vegas, it's the Adam Carolla Show.
Wayne Brady and NASCAR great Robbie Gordon, I feel like that's the same guy.
Yeah. Well, they hang out a lot together. I mean, there's a package deal.
Oh, I see. Okay. So they're bros.
They roll in the same circle.
Okay, now it's time to tell Adam the truth. I found out some weeks ago when I had to go do some corporate gig for CBS out in Arizona that there were certain things you guys secretly disagreed with me about. Teresa, I see you fidgeting over there. Already uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable. It was kind of liberating in a way, and I feel like I've been forever changed.
I think this purging is going to feel good as well. Now, I will tell you this. I will argue with you sometimes. It may possibly become insulting. I will try to sway you, but in certain areas of taste, you cannot sway somebody. They happen to like the taste of this more than they like the taste of that. I will attempt to make my point in the court of public opinion and see if I can't sway you personally. I can sway the listeners or at least defend my point. So, Teresa, why don't you start? Tell me the truth. I rail against many, many things. You guys have to sit here and take it. I'm sure politically or from a culinary standpoint and everything in between, there are many things you disagree with me about and you just can't speak up. Now's your chance.
I had to rack my brain because lately either I've gone to the dark side or I've Stockholm syndrome or something because I've agreed with you a lot.
Mm-hmm. I ruined Drew too.
I'm looking forward to my total ruination.
All right.
Although, while I used to be scared to disagree with you, obviously we went toe-to-toe on waterboarding. I think it's torture. I think torture's bad. We disagree on the death penalty. I'm against it. You're for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I find disagreeing with you at this point, it hurts so good.
On my John Cougar stance?
We disagree on Mellencamp, but his words describe how I feel. It hurts, but it hurts so good. So we've disagreed on waterboarding, on the death penalty, but that's really serious and this should be fun. So your choice, AIDS or rape. Let's go AIDS.
Let's go AIDS. All right, let's go AIDS.
This is one of the few things you've said recently where I just, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up, and I thought, I don't think that's right.
Go ahead.
Don't think that's right.
Go ahead.
Try to pep it up a little bit.
Thank you. Sorry, Jack Silver. This is not cooch talk. Okay. So you said the other day that AIDS as a crisis is basically over in the United States. We have to talk about worldwide AIDS because AIDS is over. And you also said, let's face the facts, only gay men get AIDS.
Right.
So I just, something in me, but I didn't have the information. I didn't speak up.
When I said gay men, obviously I didn't mean only gay men could get AIDS.
Right.
I meant when we had our initial wave of AIDS talk,
right.
There was a lot of equal opportunity killer. Back when it was a gay man's disease. Now, it did make the crossover, and I am aware that women and women of color are amongst the highest growing population of AIDS victims. But when I was referring to the initial campaign, mid-late 80s, I remember the political correctness of this is everyone's disease and that constant refrain, and that's what I was lashing out against.
But as to AIDS being not a problem anymore in the United States, according to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, HIV/AIDS continues to be a leading cause of illness and death in the United States. They approximate well over 400,000 people currently have HIV or AIDS. And, you know, you sort of agree with this point earlier, but according to the CDC, women now constitute the fastest growing HIV/AIDS population, counting for more than 1/4 of the infected population and nearly 3/4 of new AIDS cases. Women are primarily infected through heterosexual sex.
Right. Because we didn't call it what it was 20 years ago, it is now everywhere. I mean, we needed to focus on the group that was spreading it. Instead, we made it everyone's problem. We lessened the message, and now it is a heterosexual disease. It's now, though, not a death sentence, even though people do die with it. It's
not nearly
the death sentence it was 15 or 20 years ago. And my bigger point is everyone who always rails against the man and Upjohn and Pfizer and all the big drug companies, those people need to kiss the big drug companies' ass and need to kiss the ass of capitalism, because it's those companies wanting to profit from the selling of said triple cocktails that saved your brethren. And that's why I like that system. But yes, you're right. I'm not going to argue too much with you about that.
AIDS diagnosis, just to finish this off, AIDS diagnosis here in the United States on the rise since 2001.
All right, but you take your Birkenstocks and march your hippie ass.
I just want people to be careful.
Back to the Castro District and open a coffee shop. Bald Brian?
Well, as long as we're talking about, you know, things that are affecting the world. Flavored coffee creamer.
I love flavored coffee creamer.
Coffee is a fine flavor for other things. Coffee flavored ice cream, coffee flavored cake, I suppose. Coffee itself is sort of weird tasting, and
coffee. You're saying that coffee's not a good flavor for itself.
Yeah, agreed. Coffee's too and coffee's
no,
too.
I'm
a
not
little
agreeing
too
with your retarded statement.
Yeah,
I'm mocking you. I'm openly mocking your ludicrous statement.
No.
Yes, I am.
No, because the ice cream has the fat and the sugar in it, which de-intensifies the flavor, the coffee flavor. Coffee itself is a little too intense, so a little Splenda, actually a lot of Splenda, and a little bit of Irish cream flavor.
A little sweetener. And first off, the Irish cream, the part with Irish cream is it's like a beer-flavored beer that has no alcohol in it.
And?
It'd be like if you took water, if I had some tap water and said, hey, I'm going to put a little beer flavoring at the top of that. Well, it just tastes like watered down beer without the buzz. The coffee, to me, is a flavor, and good coffee especially has an aroma. It creates a visceral reaction. I like the taste of coffee. I don't like the taste of the flavored, because you're dumping flavor on flavor. I feel the same way with the iced tea. Is one of you, God forbid, going to bring up the flavored iced tea?
Hell no.
I might piss you off by saying I don't like any kind of iced tea, but I can't like one more than the other.
All right,
I like a flavored coffee. I'll give you half a pass. You enhance the coffee flavor with some vanilla.
All right, now here's the
thing. I'm glad we're allowed to disagree with Adam now.
Well, first off, I wish AIDS on both of you now, taking the two topics.
But AIDS is over in the United States.
Yes.
But only gay men can catch it. I'm not at risk.
Yeah.
Look, here's my point. The smell and aroma of flavored coffee is fine. When you walk into a room and brewing vanilla coffee, it's awesome. But when you taste it, it's a letdown. It tastes like watery vanilla. It doesn't taste like a vanilla shake.
I'm talking about the creamer now.
Right, okay. Right. I'm expanding into the flavored beans.
It doesn't taste as good as it smells. You're right.
And the coffee creamer, again, I think coffee, in a way, is like booze. They're purists, and then they're people that just want to catch a buzz. Teresa likes a single malt scotch, for instance. If I said to her, I'm going to take that, but then what I do is I take some Yoo-hoo and I dump it in with your single malt Jameson's, you'd be outraged.
I would rape you and give you AIDS.
Right, because it's a disease that not only is not a death sentence, but because you're a purist, you like that.
I don't even put ice cubes in my Jameson, or in my single malt.
And I have spoken to guys in kilts that tell me it is more than okay to add water and ice cubes to your super expensive scotch. Mm. That is an accepted practice.
Sure.
But like Teresa with her scotch, and you see, now I've won her over because of my example. I am that way with my coffee, but I'm willing to concede that not everyone.
Evil, Adam?
Well, look. We're talking about taste here.
Right.
And I like the taste of coffee. But if you like the taste of Irish cream or imitation Irish cream, whatever, bird droppings on top of your coffee, that's your own retarded business.
To be fair, that's my fifth favorite flavor is the bird droppings.
Look, when I go to the amusement...
or cinnamon hazelnuts.
When I go to the amusement park and I see the bloated kid that's eating the churro, I don't slap it out of his hands. I just walk away laughing, feeling better about myself. That's what I'm going to do with you and your flavored coffee.
A couple Teresa, more to get off my chest.
Go ahead.
I'm going to ask you. Rape or Randy? They're both going to be very difficult, and I'm shaky.
Randy Jackson?
Randy Jackson.
Well, let's go Randy. I feel like we've been hitting the rape.
Yeah, we're hitting the rape too hard. This is hard for me to say, and I've never said this to anyone. This is one of the hardest things I've ever had to say.
Okay.
I think really... Randy Jackson.
American Idol.
On American Idol. Adds a lot to the show.
Right.
You're the first person to say that.
I know.
About 286 pounds.
Maybe into the 290s. I think
lots of extra skin.
He has an ease and a likability.
That's right.
That is central to the chemistry between the judges that makes that show such a huge hit.
Yes.
Sure, he repeats himself. Sure, he has a lot of stupid catchphrases, dog and a million percent and all that, but there's something so likable and warm about him.
Look, he's a really nice guy. We used to have him on Loveline periodically. He's a very nice guy, and yes, the dynamic works. There's no doubt about it. There's no arguing with it, and it's one of these things where... Maybe the whole is greater than its pieces.
Yeah, the sum of the parts.
Right. And that's definitely true with American Idol. Yeah, I don't want the guy replaced. I'm just saying he probably makes $8 million a year to say, how's my dog pound doing? And then say you're a little bit pitchy. I'm secretly jealous. As I say, every time I rail against Randy Jackson and Paula Abdul, I always preface it by saying I'm jealous that these people get paid millions of dollars a year to do nothing. Yes, I agree with you. I still would stand by the statement that he's a knob, but works very nicely in the show. All right, see, not so bad. Bald Brian, what do you got?
As long as you're talking about music, by the way, I'm looking at a list of at least 12 things, so we'll have to do this again, but songs that you, or bands that you hate, I love Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
Some Depeche Mode, and this is some very, very good music.
Who does the people are people, so why should it be?
That is a bad Depeche Mode song.
that counts for an album of bad. That is a lifetime, that is a career achievement in bad. I feel like it's like saying, I only killed one guy. It was the president. That's what that is to me. That People Are People song is enough bad to cover 10 bands in a 20-year career of bad.
I agree with you.
Really?
That is a bad song. This is
wow, what decade was this created in? I can't tell from the Synsonic drums.
70s?
Could be the 70s. Could be the... Well, could have been yesterday, T.
All right, but the same band that does this song. I really, and there's some really, really good songs. Song rocks.
Look. So, Bald Brian, I have some very bad news for you.
Let's hear it.
You were born in a horrible musical time. And that's not your fault.
Right.
That's your parents' fault.
Right.
They crapped you out either too early or too late. And you have no choice. You're born into it. And creatively, like some of the crappy cartoons you grew up watching.
Oh, how dare you.
Yeah. You grow up suckling at the teat of the Transformers and Darkwing Duck. You don't understand there are things out there called, there's art out there that is much better than Depeche Mode and all the crap that you ingested. But
G.I. Joe?
You had no choice because you had a horrible, you were born in a horrible time. And just like the girl you had a crush on in the ninth grade, I don't know that there's any... I don't know that there's a scalpel sharp enough to carve that out of your bald head.
You don't like New Order either, then.
My point is if you were born in 1950 and you were 16 in 1966, then you grew up and you think the Doors are great and you think Jefferson Airplane is great and you think the Beatles are great, and they are great. You actually like the Beatles. That's your music. That's a great man. You got stuck with Depeche Mode because you were 15 in 1992.
It's going to piss you off so much more to know that I didn't like those bands when I was 15.
Oh!
I only recently came around. And I love Tears for Fears.
Stop. I can't breathe.
This was my first concert. And it was awful.
I can't breathe. All right, we need to take a break. See, didn't that feel good, kiddies?
There's so much more.
I didn't even get to Chihuahuas.
There's so much more.
You're lucky. If I had a potato gun, I would fire them into the moon.
I haven't played any Smiths yet either.
We'll take ourselves. I do kind of like the Smiths. We'll take ourselves a break. Joel McHale, Dreamboat. Now, we can all agree on that.
We do.
Joel McHale in studio next.
Right now on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, don't try funny.
TV talk.
What would you say to other kids who were thinking of partying when their parents are out of town?
Get me to do it for you.
Get you to do it for you. Not don't do
it. Best party ever so far. That's what everyone's been saying, so.
Well, we've got to go, but I suggest you go away and take a good, long, hard look at yourself.
With the Soup's Joel McHale.
I have. Everyone has. They love it.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh,
I love that guy.
I love that guy. I want to hang out with him.
I have. I love it. I love it.
16.
Best party so far.
Joel, get me to do it.
Joel McHale from The Soup, everybody.
Yes.
Best show on TV, so says the billboard that's right under the one of Chelsea Handler.
Well, the Handler one's peeling off, so you can still see some of the best
shows. It is? Yeah. From the rain?
That's right.
Hey, Adam.
Right. Yeah.
I noticed there was an announcement this week.
Mm-hmm. I'm pregnant with twins.
That's your bowels are full. But I noticed that you're going to be...
I'm gay.
Mm-hmm.
On a show that we cover.
Ah!
Oh, yeah.
The Soup covers Dancing with the Stars, of course.
Yeah, my mom is thrilled.
Mm.
Joel, how do you find Adam's chances?
His dad celebrated by falling off an A-frame.
That's what he does that every year.
It was a tree.
But, you know the show well because you cover it for The Soup.
Yeah, do you remember the movie Sniper with Tom Berenger and Billy Zane?
I do.
And Tom Berenger
had to go after Zane, who got loose in the forest.
I feel like you're loose in the forest now. And I am going to have to use all my skill.
It was every good movie from the 90s where the guy pulled him aside and went, "What makes you an expert on this?" A small-time sheriff, and the guy said, "I made him."
Right.
I'm the only guy who can take him down. Yeah, Joel McHale, I feel like he made Adam Carolla, and he's the only one who can stop him.
He's Colonel Troutman.
Do you feel maybe, you need to stop
or
him?
Maybe you're more like just a wild tiger that got out of its cage in San Francisco, and I have the tranquilizer
gun. You're the trainer, right.
I just go, what? Okay.
Either way, he needs to be stopped.
Here we go. I'll be like, transvestite Adam Carolla is one of the competitors on Dancing with the Stars.
Now listen, right. Go sick. Nobody watches the show. All right.
My mom is thrilled. Women women 49 to death.
That's right.
I'm really into that show.
The executives at ABC say just after death.
That's
they
when.
They still watch.
Because they buy a lot of electronics.
They're
that's
number one, they, durable good. The yeah. number, oh, actually, yeah. number three, durable good consumers,
yeah.
women just after death.
That would be. That's
yes.
true.
I don't know. How can something be considered so gay that involves being hip to hip, locked at the waist, with a Julianne Hough?
Oh, it my God.
Oh, I didn't. Well, I would have to try it with her first.
I got to tell you, I felt like a filthy old man for the first time in my life yesterday.
Wait, wait, wait. For the first time that day?
That, didn't I say that?
No, you said life.
Oh, no, I meant day.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, sorry. Thanks. Thanks. Oh,
it was
yeah.
just earlier
yeah,
than
for
usual.
For the first time that day, and it was, you know, it was before noon, I felt like a filthy old man because this 19-year-old piece of, first off, it's like some 80s video where someone leaps from the pages of a magazine. It almost looks like she's airbrushed. Yeah. And she was saying to me, no, you really have to press your hips against mine. And I say, I call it my groin. You have hips. I got groins, baby.
But, and then she goes, wait, you have three hips. Because I'm feeling three pressure
and
points
one
here.
One in particular seems
but
more
does she
piercing.
Even does she even come up to your belt? Is she 4'11"?
No, she's, well, first off, they wear the dance like sort of stiletto heels yeah. when they dance, and she probably goes herself about 5'4", 5'5", so yeah. when she puts on the pumps.
Put her at 5'4".
She's up there, and, yeah, I gotta tell you, pushing her around with my groin for 2.5 hours yesterday was quite an evening. Yeah.
And if you, say you go all the way, you, I mean,
now
in
what's
the show,
all the
in,
way?
In the show, in the show, in the show, in the show.
Oh, okay. All right.
You will be pressing your hips into her hips
mm-hmm.
for how many weeks?
I think
12?
I think it goes on for like 12
that
weeks or something,
right.
like 3
yeah.
months. Yeah, and then they have a tour, so I have to quit this gig
oh,
and
yeah.
go on tour.
There's no way you're not going on tour, because if you win, you have to at least do a couple cities.
Oh, yeah.
If you go on tour, can I fill in and Teresa and I will just make fun of you?
Yeah.
Every day for 4 hours
going on
outstanding.
Tour.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Joel.
Yes.
We're woefully behind, so why don't we tease your first clip?
Why don't you just tease, put that tease in there.
What did somebody give Paris Hilton for her birthday?
So we're going to find out what Paris Hilton got for her birthday when Joel McHale from The Soup, everybody, returns with his bag of clips.
Yes.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Can't get enough of Adam and Teresa? Well, you're in luck. Here's Bald Brian's bonus B-sides on the Adam Carolla Show.
I'd like to talk to a representative from the Ad Council so I could rape his sister. Here's a promise ring. Now, how about some oral?
I gotta express the anus.
The anorexic Jew lives in the Carolinas. I drive drunk. That's what I do. I'm a big man. I admit it. I wear it on my sleeve.
I gave you that vagina use
yeah.
with your penis.
A guy could touch me. It feels good.
Happy New Year, you F's.
There you go. Some of Bald Brian's B-sides, the ones you don't hear at the end of the show.
If you guys got married, they could play that at the rehearsal dinner.
That'd be nice. Over a kind of a slow motion video
yes,
of us together.
Of you, like just laughing.
And every once in a while we'd see doves just flying in slow motion.
Shut up, you F's.
Joel,
I drive drunk.
Joel McHale, everybody.
All right.
From The Soup. Best show on television.
God bless you.
And he's going to be at the West Palm Beach Improv February 29th through the 2nd and the Ontario Improv March 7th through the 9th. All right, what else do we have in the clip department?
Here we go. This is a clip from Oprah. She's on television. She has a syndicated show. I'm confused by the premise, but it doesn't really matter, is that this one, there's a woman with the affliction of having multiple
orgasms.
I saw this.
Yeah, you can ask questions to Dr. Oz.
I didn't think it was an affliction.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was a problem,
mm-hmm.
but apparently it is, and now Oprah is going to illustrate what she goes through.
About 15% of women have multiple orgasms. 18 is a lot.
Well, I would think after about 12, you lose count.
The JJ.
There she goes.
So true.
17. Come on now, one more.
18.
her audience is more enablers and less an audience.
Yeah.
I really do feel like they're drunken frat guys yelling chug, chug, chug.
Yeah, that was like a live sex show in Amsterdam.
I don't know if I've mentioned it, but I did Oprah earlier this week.
Now why was that, Adam?
Little show called Dance with the Stars.
Where to take you out?
Her audience is comprised of 50-something-year-old rosy-cheeked women who just, I mean, if Oprah walked up on stage and started choking a baby fur seal, they would applaud and laugh. Like, she could walk up on stage and go, hey, I've come up the stage. You know who I have with me? The very first infant born in the new year. Now I'm going to gut him with a number two pencil. And they'd be like, awesome. That is awesome. And then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to eat his entrails like a kid eats spaghetti, where I hang it over my head and then slurp it up. Okay, now, next, I'm going to parade up a bunch of disabled veterans from the Iraqi conflict.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to go ahead and put claymore mines underneath their wheelchairs and eviscerate them on live on stage. This is going to be awesome, people.
Get the applause, though. You have to do the Oprah upending where she screams the end.
Right.
To
okay.
Get the applause.
I'll be blowing up Iraqi veterans. then I'm going to take John Lennon's remains. I'm going to spread them out on a Lucite dance floor, and I'm going to dance a jig on top of them.
Yeah. Then I will release sarin gas into the studio. I will be the only one with a gas mask. You will all die from your nervous system breaking down. Right.
I will plant a small microchip in your inner ear that will lie dormant for years, except for when you get a phone call from one of my segment producers. You will kill your whole family with a machete.
Oh, no. Audience, everyone here today who has breathed the air around me has Legionnaire's disease.
I'm gonna have a drifter defecate into a powder makeup compact, and everybody in our audience will be leaving with a compact filled with drifter dude.
I can't believe it. I can't believe I came on this day. I can't believe how lucky I am.
I wanted to get my favorite things day.
Yeah, that is the Oprah audience. So she's enabled by the audience, thus she can just keep going. She could have went to 175 orgasms on the wall, and they would have stayed with her on every single one of them.
And you have to think of things to say.
That's right. I got to dance.
You can't just count in an erotic way for an hour.
No, I must dance because I got a Brillo head, and I ain't Oprah.
And now you have a really cute 5'4" Mormon attached to you.
Yes,
okay.
I do.
Good Day L.A. Mm-hmm. is continuing the trend of older actresses swearing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like Jane Fonda.
Like mm-hmm. Jane Fonda on the Today Show. This time it's Kathleen Turner. Oh. Or the man who is now Kathleen Turner. Mm-hmm. On Good Day LA 2 days ago.
And I have... what kind of language can I use on TV?
Well, on this
can
show?
I say asshole?
Pretty salty, but...
Sorry, okay.
You're kidding, I can't say that?
I like when people float the actual test word.
Can I say seasucker? Yeah. I already just said it.
I said that, yeah, but when used as an example, like if I said, Joel, can I punch you in the face and then punch you in the face, and then you said, no, you cannot.
No, Adam.
You would not have a black eye when I was done, right?
Right.
That's how that works?
Right, you were just testing it.
Right.
I'm not shooting heroin right now.
Dry run. Oh, sure, it's a rig filled with high-grade heroin, but it's a hypothetical.
But I would get high if I did this.
Right.
I see. Yeah, so she's detached from reality. Mm-hmm. That's great. Mm-hmm. She has really changed.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know the beauty of being a guy, really, literally, is if you take the movie Romancing the Stone. Take Michael
Douglas.
How
about Jewel of the Nile?
All right. Let's take this.
Either one.
Take Douglas and take Kathleen Turner at the time. Both approximately the same age. Maybe Kathleen Turner's a little bit younger, right?
Yeah.
Both considered A-list, both considered very attractive by the opposite sex or whatever. Now, who's Michael married to?
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
That's right.
How much younger than she is?
70 years younger. He has pubes that are older than she is.
Yeah.
And what's Kathleen doing?
She sounds like Danny.
Right? She sounds like the douche man. No, I'm not. We shouldn't pick on her. I'm just saying that is the difference between being a guy and being a girl in this city. Yeah. All right.
All right. So now, Rachel Ray had a guest on.
Mm-hmm.
Bindi Irwin.
Oh.
Mm.
And I think, I'm just going to let it roll.
I like visiting everywhere. I mean, I'm the luckiest kid in the world. I mean, I'm such a lucky kid because I get to jump Crocs. Totally, totally. I'm like the luckiest kid. I am the luckiest kid on planet Earth.
You get to help design it?
I'm the luckiest kid on planet Earth because I can do so many different things.
You are the luckiest kid on planet Earth.
I am.
This is why I really could never host my own cooking show. She would just, T, you play Bindi.
Okay, on Cooking with Carolla?
Yeah.
I'm the luckiest girl in the world. I'm the luckiest. I'm just really lucky.
I'll put you in the top 10.
I'm the luckiest girl in the world. Top, I get to play with every girl.
Your dad was hit by barb from a moray eel in his aorta 18 months ago.
No,
I don't
Adam,
call.
No.
You don't have a rabbit's foot up your tuck eye, okay, Junior?
No.
I'm listen.
The luckiest girl in the
my
world.
Dad's still walking around, all right? I don't call myself the luckiest guy in the world.
Get away to commercial.
Your dad is in the ground. You understand, sweet pea?
Cook
he's
something.
Dancing with the devil.
Plug
do you
website.
Understand that is not?
Do something.
He will never give you away. He is not going to be at your prom. There'll
make
be no father-daughter dances.
Adam.
I do not
Adam.
Call that the luckiest kid in the world.
Make some
I'm not going to make risotto until I'm done breaking this kid's spirit. Yes.
Her mother is here.
I don't put you in the top 1 million luckiest he's kids in the world. Do you understand? Your dad is gone and nothing can change that.
I'm the luckiest girl in the world.
I would just have to go absolutely except the part where dad's in the crowd.
Right. In a freak attack by a stingray.
Yes. Your dad was killed by the very thing he was trying to preserve. Other than that,
luckiest girl
the
in the
luckiest
world.
Girl.
There's
in
something
the world.
Wrong with that girl, yes?
She is being conditioned.
There's something going on.
You know the part of Fight Club when Edward Norton is flying all over the country and he has no sense of time or where he is at any moment? That's mm-hmm. how they're moving her around the world, I think.
Right.
She doesn't know where she is, and everyone keeps telling her how great it is. And she's got a rap album, I think,
and
coming
she's
out.
She's like coming out with her third exercise video, and she's 4 years old,
clothing.
And lines of clothing, and something... Something's quite wrong.
Yeah, you want to make fun of it more. I mean,
it's
because
sad,
but she's a child,
she's
and she lost her father, and now they're pimping. Sorry, you can't say that now, right?
Right.
Yeah, now they are just putting her in front of every camera they can find.
And the parent does that thing where it goes, "It was her idea. This is what she wants to do. This is what she loved to do." Well, I wanted to be a race car driver when I was 8, but nobody tossed me behind the wheel of a NASCAR and got me a fire suit. They said, "That's awesome. Now go to your crappy school."
I wanted to cut myself.
How did that conversation go with your dad?
She wanted to be a cut. My dad, who only spoke to me through his trumpet mouthpiece.
What did he say about that?
Dad, I'm sorry you're napping, but I'd like to go. But most mommy and daddies are at work at this time, you know. All right, to each their own. I would like to be a race car driver. No, I'm not joking. Well, it does cost a lot of money. Okay, but we could start with go-karts. But they're smaller cars with a little wheel. Oh, but Dad. No, Dad, they're cheap. There's a go-kart track in Van Nuys. It's only 4 miles away. Oh, wait a minute. Why are you laughing? No, don't go back to sleep.
Still plays the trumpet no while he's napping.
He goes into his nose and breathes out his mouth when he's napping. All right.
We need to take another break. You know, Dad, little Bindi Irwin is doing what she wants to do, and she's 8 years old. Okay, but different strokes for different folks. It's not cut it every time I have a request. I do think the Australians speak English. I don't think the cultures. I don't think the culture... Dad, they're not communists or cannibals. Okay, I'm going to check into both those things. Wow. Telling that to your own son. What do you mean I'm not your son?
I think he's falling back asleep.
What do you mean someone who wants to drive go-karts is not your son? I'm sorry, I don't want to read books of Nietzsche all day long and listen to classical jazz music. All right. All right, well, to each their own.
Oh, he's out. He's out.
Joe McHale in studio will be back with the rest of the clips.
Cola Show, Employee of the Week. This week's employee is singularly focused on this show and this show alone. No matter what spectacular opportunities may arise, this employee maintains the show as his number one priority. Not a top-rated primetime show, nor a movie, or even Oprah could distract this employee's wholehearted dedication. This week's Employee of the Week is... once again, Adam Carolla.
Wow!
Thank you. Did not see that one coming, Joe McHale.
Jeez. Congratulations. Usually I don't think it's fair, but this week I think you really earned it.
If I get any heat at all from this Dancing with the Stars or any traction at all with my movie, I am gone. I am leaving this hellhole and I'll never look back. Let that be said right now. Yeah. Joel McHale.
Wow.
You brought some clips from the soup.
Let's extra covered Paris Hilton's birthday.
Mm.
So sure. Great for them. So this is after this compelling interview, they said this needs to be put on television.
What does somebody give Paris Hilton for her birthday?
If someone even just writes me a really sweet card or makes me a collage, I really love that. Right. But, you know, I love diamonds, too.
She thinks a collage is a sexual move that originated in France.
Yes.
Makes her collage.
In fact, she learned that word that day.
Listen,
it's
I'm a
collage of diamonds.
I'm a decoupage man, but I'm no collager.
No. Mm-hmm. It's weird because we don't hear from her anymore, which means she's become sensible.
Paris?
Yeah.
Well, she had that movie, The Hottie and the Naughty, which has been dubbed or deemed or titled the worst movie ever created. So maybe
next
she's,
to Battlefield Earth.
Maybe next to Battlefield Earth. So maybe she's laying low for a couple of days.
And
I don't know.
These collages that people make her, I'm certain they're all pictures of Paris.
I wonder how they get the different parts of the collages to stick.
Oh, no. Took me a second.
Sorry. I'm just going to move on.
Jesus. Yeah. You got to teach preschool.
Yeah. All right. Here we go with Top Model. We couldn't show you the clip because it wouldn't work for the radio, but Tyra sent all the models to model high school, and the best one who did the greatest in this model high school was going to be dubbed Homecoming Queen.
Yeah.
Guess who won?
Tyra?
Yep. She came out with the tiara on.
But what about the three-part special where she hung up her angel wings?
Oh, Adam.
She came out of retirement?
No, technically, this was not a runway. She was being
so this was
crowned.
An exhibition modeling.
Yeah, this was
not a sanctioned modeling.
It was not a sanctioned, no.
They panned to the faces of all the hopeful girls, thinking that they were going to be voted the queen. And they were so excited because it was going to be one of them.
Nope. How amazing that Tyra decided to make herself, since she is the executive producer. Okay. No, but that now there's a model on there named Shaya or Shaya. And she speaks in the third person.
Shaya is goofy. Shaya is sexy. Shaya is everybody's fantasy.
Shaya is
a blowhard,
a narcissist.
Guess what Shaya's last name is?
Shaya Myselfa.
Ali.
Oh, really?
Oh,
what's that
related.
Mean?
Oh.
She is.
Yeah.
Just think how quickly that comes up at a party.
But what are they? Because I feel like black folks that are cousins are further
it
apart than white
close
people
relation.
Have never met.
It was a very close relation enough that they
really?
Talked about
really?
Muhammad Ali was married to her at one
I think
point.
I think Muhammad Ali might be her uncle.
Oh.
I may be wrong about that, but then she didn't make it into the finals.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but Shia isn't going to stop.
No. Well,
Shia's going to keep modeling.
Did Muhammad Ali stop?
Should have. That, when he met, Holmes. But let me say this. In one of those uncle offs, she will kick your ass. Like, you'll go, my uncle, he's not a butcher. He distributes meat so we can get as many patties. And I'm talking about the 20% fat ones, as many of those as we want.
Because Shia's uncle is Muhammad Ali.
But my uncle,
Shia's uncle is Muhammad Ali.
Sorry.
So.
Yeah.
Great on the meat, though.
Pull it out. I'll get on my knees.
Maybe my...
Okay.
Then, on the show Tyra, because Tyra is about 40% of the soup now.
Right.
This is... she. You know how she dresses up thin people as fat people and then films them and then they talk about their humiliating experience?
She's a social documentarian. She wants to go out. She wants to find out what would happen if you took a woman and you made her teeth crooked and you made her cross-eyed and you made her fat and you made her have goiters. Yep. If she would be as attractive to the male of the species.
Right.
Now, I never know how this is going to turn out.
There's usually tears.
That's right.
I wanted to get to the point in a couple of years where she's like, we have taken a woman and put a wolf's head on her.
That's
and we
right.
want to see That's what right. will happen if she walks out in public looking like she has a wolf's head.
People are so cruel to wolf head girls, and no one talks about it.
We've turned one of our models into a centaur. Will she be able to hail a cab in New York City?
And we dressed up one of the male models as a minotaur.
I do love the part where Tyra then weeps for all the ugly people as she's peeling off the prosthetic ugly.
Yes.
That's
she's
my
like,
favorite part.
I can't
part.
Believe what you go through.
Oh, I couldn't. Oh, I never will I call you a fat ass again. Now I know what it's like to live, if only for an afternoon, in your fat ass.
And I'm so embarrassed by what I look like, you'll barely see any of me in the actual fat suit. All right, now, here's what she did. She took a fat woman and put prosthetics on her so she would appear as a fat woman.
Fatter suit.
A fatter suit. And then they doctored some photos so she could say, look, I'm actually thin.
Uh-huh.
It's...
to find out if she got the job or got the date or got the what?
I was so confused. Anyway, just...
So in order for Alicia to be thin, we're putting prosthetics on her to make it look like she's also wearing a size 20 bodysuit. Outside, she'll be telling others that she is just wearing a size 20 bodysuit to see how it feels to be heavier for the day. We even digitally enhanced some photos to make her look thin. By showing these photos, she'll have all the proof she needs in convincing others that she's really a very thin girl.
I was just listening to a snake eat its own tail.
Yes.
And then just go ping and disappear. I don't know where it began and where it ended. We took a fat chick and put her in a fatter chick suit, and then we digitally enhanced some pictures so that she could convince the people that knew she was in the fat suit that she was actually a thin person, except for she's still actually fat.
Right.
And then what?
I don't know who's being duped. Right. I can't figure out.
Everybody who watches her program.
It made no sense. Anyway.
All right.
Thanks, Tyra.
Thanks for dusting off the fat suit. Yes, there are things called models. They're generally attractive. Celebrities like to date them. They're more easily employed. And when they break down by the side of the highway, they get picked up faster than unattractive people. I think that one's pretty much...
that's well documented.
That one
it's
goes
in
back
a lot
to
of medical
just,
journals.
Goes back to a little bit before the wheel.
Dr. Drew's dissertation
just before
was on
fire.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere between the wheel and fire.
Gotcha.
The first
had
guy...
it easier.
The first guy that ever got his own set of four wheels drove right past the fat cave women.
And the cave women...
Oh, hey, good looking. How about a brontosaurus burger? Yeah.
The first guy that made a fire didn't invite the ugly girls to his fire.
Yeah, I got my own swinging bachelor cave.
He hit the model-looking cave woman with the club.
Those hieroglyphics, there's a gay caveman who lives down the street. He's out in Soap Cave, Flint. She's in Flint,
West Cave.
He's in West Flint Cave.
The Red
Stone.
Light Cave District.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't judge. He came to me in a bargain. Yeah.
Well, so I'm not sure what that. It's great. Mm-hmm. Anyway, on Big Brother.
Uh-huh.
Do you watch Big Brother?
Yeah, I do. I do on occasion.
All right. So Big Brother arranged. They took the new cast and picked who they thought their soulmates would be,
mm-hmm.
and then had them kind of stay together. So they've been together. These people you'll hear next for a total of 7 days. They've only been together for 7 days.
I have feelings for you. It doesn't seem you have the same feelings for me. The last couple nights we haven't held each other, we haven't done anything. It bothers me that you walk around like a slut. You're wearing a t-shirt that comes up to here with your nipples and chunk.
Oh,
and booty shorts where your ass is half hanging out.
Every girl does that.
Oh, I long for the old days, Monday. When we met.
Remember our 72-hour anniversary?
Yeah, what happened? It was all smiles and promises. Now a day passes and look where we are. I remember.
The entire first 6 hours we were together, we didn't get into one fight.
That's right.
Let's look at a video of us from day one.
Mm.
That's today.
Very odd.
Yeah, but it's earlier today. Mm-hmm.
What
happened to us?
I miss us.
I miss us on Tuesday.
Where are we going to be in 13 days?
Look, whenever you lose a child, when you conceive on a Monday and go into your third trimester on a Wednesday and then spontaneously abort on a Thursday, that is tough on a Friday for any couple.
Any relationship.
I love you so much, and I can really see us being together long term, like, Thursday.
Yeah, I want to grow old with you, like, let's say mid-March.
Really?
Yes.
Let's renew our vows around the 28th.
I feel like Tyra ought to get together with the producers and continue. What we need to do is get two people, put them in fat suits, and put them together for a week and see if they fall in love.
Yeah, and not tell the other that they're in a fat suit and that they think they're real and see if there can be true love.
How many fat suits were donned before 1995 versus post 1995?
Halliburton's fat suit production is through the roof.
I feel like if I had one of those charts you use where you point at it with one of those sticks, you go, 1955, zero fat suits used in America.
Lots.
2008, over a 250,000 fat suits.
It's off the charts.
That's
in
right.
Use.
Now, people, if I'm selling like timeshare and fat suits, I feel like this is a layup. If I'm looking for investors in fat suits, your parents grew up, nobody wore a fat suit.
Never.
There's nobody on the block. My child is being fitted for a fat suit as we speak, and he's not 2 years
and
old.
Now the landfills are full of discarded fat suits.
That's right. Then the tree huggers get involved. They should be using fat suits that are made out of old recycled fat suits.
Of course.
Look, they can make a perfectly good hemp fat suit.
Or bamboo,
It's one of the most plentiful, fastest growing, easiest harvested fat suit crops there is.
And why can't we make fat suits in America?
If I was
sure, it's going to be more expensive.
Right. If I had a nickel for every 13-year-old Indonesian who was forced to make a fat suit for Nike, I'd be a rich man right now. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get on my Rainbow Warrior ship and ram it into that container ship that's bringing fat suits in from Jakarta.
I wondered why your fat suit had a Nike swoosh.
Look, if I could get out of this fat suit, I'd make sweet love to you right now for that comment.
Well, she'd have to get out of hers.
If our fat suits had ports in the loins, I would be making sweet...
And what are you going to widen this door?
If my penis extended to the outside perimeter of my fat suit, I would give it to you, but good, right now. Right
you could
now,
get
sweetie.
A fat crotch from, they have them at Target.
If I had my penis extender so that I could urinate without removing the fat suit, sweetie, from your fat suit to God's ears. Yeah, there will be a time 50 years from now where everyone will just be walking around in fat suit.
It'll be.
How many
people will stay warm?
How many people does the subway car hold? 2.5. Everyone's wearing fat suits.
Are either out of control. No one is this really this fat. The fat suits are too fat now.
I have a 27,000 square foot one bedroom apartment I rent in Van Nuys. It's just me in my fat suit.
Mm-hmm. I've had to get a storage unit.
Oh, the new Airbus 387 holds two guys in fat suits.
It's so expensive.
900 people or two guys in fat suits and no pilot. His fat suit couldn't make it through the reinforced door. All right, we need to take a break.
I only have one clip left.
All one right, clip?
So. No, but it's up to. Well, we can wait.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We will play Joel's last remaining clip. I am sweating like a pig in this fat suit. I gotta get some air. I gotta tell you, history is not going to be kind to this particular time.
No.
I feel like if civilization is around 2,000 years from now, we have everything on tape, everything's on disc, and they were going to be combing over the details with the fat suits and the TMZs, and they'll never stop.
We're never
going to stop vomiting into their gray jumpsuits. Yes, we're Rome, or better, Sodom and Gomorrah. Joel McHale in here from the soup. He's in his fat suit, bald Brian. Yeah. He's wearing his bald suit.
That's right.
We'll take a break. T will be back with the news. Jimmy Kimmel coming up. Joel's got his last clip. We'll do all that now.
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
I guess you could call it the unthinkable happened today. You remember that show, The Man Show? And you remember that guy? But you remember that guy who wasn't me, Adam Carolla? My friend and former co-host, Adam Carolla, was on Oprah today. That's right. Oprah Winfrey. Trampolines all over America are hanging at half mast.
Jimmy Kimmel is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hi, kids, because he cares. Jimmy Kimmel's going to pop on the line any second. Joel McHale in studio from the soup. Joel, why don't we hear your last clip? And
all
then
right.
If Jimmy pops up, we'll talk to him or we'll start in with the news with T.
Houston's finest produced television show, Cheaters. Syndicated around this country and around the world and in the space shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty much the first time I'm rooting for the cheater. And here is why the cheated upon boyfriend is upset.
She talks differently. She talks about different things. She talks about books and authors and ideas that honestly can't understand and don't want to understand.
How dare you!
I feel like if my wife ever hired these people to follow me around for a week and I didn't cheat, she'd still have things that were much worse than cheating and grounds for divorce.
I mean, first, an unclean fat suit.
Right, you sweat in those
you
things.
You sweat like a hog. It's like putting on a, you know, if you put your football uniform on, you don't wash it for a month. It's horrible.
Right. There's good news and bad news. The good news, well, the bad news is your son and husband and lovers confined to a fat suit. The good news is he can no longer urinate in the sink because he can't figure out a way around it in his fat suit.
You know, he didn't cheat, but he urinated in your kitchen sink 80 times.
Well, we have someone on the phone who, by the way, was reprimanded for urinating into his kid's sandbox. Although I didn't know it was...
What a tightwad.
Look, it was a lump of sand shaped like a turtle. That does not make it a sand box. That makes it a box filled with sand.
Does it make it a urinal?
Did it have clumping sand?
It does now.
Litter?
Jimmy?
Hold on a second. I'm just unhooking my fat suit here. All right.
Do you agree with us that it...
Wait,
only,
it sounds like Kathleen Turner's on the line.
Only 40% of Americans will be wearing fat suits 20 years from now.
I hope so. I really do. I hope that it goes the other way and that we're all in fat suits. Because I think I'll look better just to start with.
Well, no, you won't, because you'll be forced to dress and be painted as a black man. Because under my regime, half the people will dress fat. The thin people will be fat, and the white people are going black.
Yeah,
so they can learn how it's...
See what kind of a prosthetic penis I will give myself when I become black.
You're getting standard issue. You don't get to cast your own, Kimmel.
Is that a tail?
I'll need binoculars to see the end of it.
Well, the big Oscar show coming up this week.
Oscars. How about you dressing. I want to know what's going on. I called you last night. I want to know what's going on with this Julianne. I want to know if you masturbated the instant you got home.
Got home.
You mean from your rehearsal?
In his Audi.
Listen, first off, yes, I consider my Audi my home. I claimed it in the name of Spain many years ago.
Now, do people masturbate in their cars generally, or is this a special occasion?
Not generally, but this is definitely special, don't you think?
I feel like if I was caught by a cop masturbating in my car outside of the dance studio.
In Burbank.
And he was like... He was like, okay, what I'm going to have to do right now is go ahead and drop your penis, walk away from your penis, okay, right now? And I said, guess who I'm masturbating to? And he said, that's none of my business, sir. And I said, Julianne from Dancing with the Stars. Say, have a nice day, sir.
Yeah, that's right. Jump in his fat suit and hop right out of there.
There's not a court in the land that
drive
can
straight home,
me.
Sir. Just drive straight home.
Yes.
And so when you go there, you guys are you're really like, touching one another and dancing?
I must say I was reprimanded for not pressing my hips hard enough against hers.
By her?
It's critical to certain types of dance.
Lisa Rinna showed up in a fat suit and started yelling at me because my form was all
her
off.
Her lips have a fat suit.
Honestly, did you at any time get an erection?
No, it was one of
your groin had a fat suit on.
No, it was one of those things where I was too nervous, where I couldn't feel my lower half.
You couldn't perform.
Yeah, it was one of those things like, you know, like the first time you met Huey Lewis, where you said
I had dinner with him last night.
I heard about that, but the very first time when you met him, where you said it's very nice to meet me. It was more that. I could not feel my groin. I got home and had to get smelling salts for my junk. My junk was like, huh? What? What happened?
What happened? Am I still in the fight? What am I?
You know
what?
I lost. Where am I?
You know what I had to do with my junk? Remember in the A-Team when they wanted Mr. T to fly?
Yeah.
They had to knock him out?
Right.
All right, I'll drink this buttermilk, but I ain't getting on that plane, sucker.
Jimmy,
that's what I did with my junk.
Jimmy, in the bathroom, I was in the bathroom with Adam, as usually we go there, because that's how I get paid. He demonstrated to me what she was making him do, and that was, she was like, you need to put your leg in between my legs.
Oh,
my God.
Are you guys doing the waltz?
As
are you
hard
allowed
as
to
you
say
can.
What dance it is?
I'm doing the Wang dance. I don't.
The Paso Doble?
No idea. I don't Fox know trot. If we're doing the Soldier Boy or the Funky Chicken. my ears don't work. I can't feel my lower half.
Your ears don't work.
Adam comes out with a neurological disorder from the show.
Yes.
And what did Lynette say to you, your lovely wife, when you got home from your first day of practice?
Oh, my God. It's exciting.
I was up front with her, as I said to you, Jimmy, when I first heard the news a month ago. I will stay in this marriage unless I get this particular dancer.
Jimmy, I think Lynette's happy. She emailed me. We emailed back and forth, and she said she's happy
because
you got the champion, and she wants you to win.
Right.
Julianne is a champion.
But when we move to Maui to open our own dance studio in 4 months, she's not going to be as happy.
I'd like to see you. We should shoot a little montage with you, like doing everything with your penis, like closing your car door with your penis, just like everything leading up to it. You're so excited.
No, my penis handed me the cell phone, said my agent was on.
My mom's going to be like, what happened to Dancing with the Stars? There's a man closing a door with his penis
on. My scrotum was over the moon because he got a callback on a Chevy commercial.
Let me say this also, yes. Joel and Teresa. I've been in a learning experience with Adam before. In fact, well, really, my whole relationship with him has been learning. But when we met, Adam taught me to box, or at least he was supposed to be teaching me to box, but we did almost nothing but talk. I mean, we really did almost no boxing at all, and I want to know if that is a similar thing that's going on right now.
Yes, I did. In 2.5 hours, I traveled 18 feet, but my mouth circled the globe.
Now, what about the word ratio between you and Julianne Hough?
Well, here's how everything works with her, because she was born in 1988. So I'm like...
She loves Depeche Mode.
Music selection, I'm thinking maybe the Beatles. Who? I'm thinking maybe the Who. Who? I'm thinking maybe one of your country songs. Who? I'm thinking maybe the Who. Who? No, who? Who? Who's on first? Who? She was born... You understand,
19 years ago.
I was living in an apartment in North Hollywood with a stripper when she was born.
Don't tell her that.
It was too late.
He just told her everything.
Keep that from her. Yeah, I know, I know. In fact, we're having dinner with some people, some mutual friends. And
go ahead, say the big star names.
No, Adam's agent. I was just going to say, I didn't want to sound too Hollywood, but our agent was sitting there. He's like, he knows more about this Julianne than he does about his own wife, Lynette.
Huh. And?
What year is Lynette born, Adam?
Well, listen, I know what...
That's a good question.
Did he ask what decade?
What year?
I know what century she was born. Look, do you ever... What? When the
answer the question.
Can I... Let me answer it with a statement.
Oh, my God, it's exciting.
When the mystery leaves the relationship, when the mystery, like, how old are you? Where were you born?
Right.
What's your middle name?
When were you married?
What's your middle initial?
That's what color are your eyes?
Yeah.
What are your preferences?
Is your dad dead or alive?
Do we have children? What are you doing here?
When the mystery leaves, so does the passion and the spontaneity. Sweetie, I am going to spontaneously go to Maui and open a dance studio with a 19-year-old. And the passion, oh, don't get me started.
I especially like that you've already picked the city.
Yeah. And a business plan.
I'd like to be separated by her parents by a huge body of water. I want no landmass. I figure I take them for drivers. You know what I mean? They're from Utah.
The Huffs.
Yeah, they're Mormon. I don't think they believe in flying or something, so I'm looking for an island-based community.
Do you think there's any chance that she's been listening to your show just to get a sense?
Jimmy, I have a little insight on that. She may have been listening since the big announcement a week ago, but during a commercial, I asked her, were you nervous to meet Adam? And she said, I got to be honest, I had not heard of Adam.
I'm so sorry, Adam.
She's too young.
By the way, that's not a negative.
And then she said, look, my father is 2 years younger than Adam.
To be fair, she mainly grew up abroad where she was studying dance in England.
She told me that her father is still playing professional basketball. She asked me if I liked country music, and I said, absolutely.
You did? Of course.
I told her North Hollywood was the cradle of country music.
If you are dancing to Before He Cheats Again, it will be the most magical moment of my life.
My biggest lament is that these capizios aren't made of snakeskin. I'm the hugest. Ask Merle Haggard. Ask him. I'm a massive country music fan.
Oh, boy.
Look, Tim McGraw.
The greatest. Week and a half of
Are you going to have a cowboy hat?
I hate booze, but I love country music.
You'll have a hat.
Oh, that's right. That's what I was like saying. Like, I do not. I'm like Burt Reynolds in a movie that was made 20 years before you were born, Smoking the Bandit. I only take this country hat off, this cowboy hat off, for one thing, and that's to dance the cha 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 cha. I added an extra cha.
Wow.
Yeah, for her. Oh, Jimmy, we've talked too much about me. What about the big Oscar special?
All I can think of is you and Julianne dancing all the time. And it makes me want to kill you.
Well, listen, Jimmy, you're not doing so bad. I mean, Sarah Silverman made you.
Never mind that.
Oh.
Have you seen Julie?
Mary J. Blige, John Stewart, Ben Affleck. And by the way, you know how you deduct points? Like, well, that chick's hot for TV, but when I get up on her in the light of day, no way can she look this good.
Yeah. Better in person.
Yes.
So much better.
By a large margin.
Yes.
Yeah,
you know what I'm going to... You know what I'm...
Her hips are so firmly pressed to your hips.
As I demonstrated in the men's room.
I just want to know, it was uncomfortable for me how close
I'm
Adam
dying
got
a
to
thousand
me.
Deaths for Lynette right now.
Oh,
inside.
Please. She knows this chick is way too good for me.
That's the one thing that makes her feel better about it.
That's the problem, though, is that, Adam, you know, I mean, like, yes, on paper, she's too good for you, but... She's forced to spend time with you, and eventually you will wear her
I can
her
win
down.
Her over.
Have you thought about maybe talking about cars to her?
Plus, I got to be fair. I haven't been completely honest, because she's like, I got a country single coming out. What's the format of your station? I'm like, all country all the time. You know, Cowboy Tom Likas comes on Drive Time. Well, to be fair, we play country and western. How about you pull up a bale of hay and we talk about it?
You should buy a horse.
As a matter of fact, if Audi made a horse, I would buy it.
You should just start showing up on a horse.
I had the seats pulled out of my Audi. I have a bale of hay.
That's the thing. I see you wearing her down and becoming like a grandfather figure to her. You know?
Who all's ready for some sexing?
You used to sit on Grandpa's lap when you were a kid.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Buy her a saddle, and then she'll look and she'll go, "But isn't this too small? Oh, it's not for the horse."
That's right.
You know where you put that hay that you chew on in your mouth?
Yeah, hey, how about you sit on Grandpa's lap again? All right, Jimmy,
dance are we learning? Wait, Matt, Jimmy, is there going to be a rebuttal to the...
I'm effing Matt Damon.
Yeah, I'm effing Matt Damon.
There is going to be one, yes. I'm not at liberty to reveal exactly what it will be, but let me just say it will be spectacular.
Big stars abound. And speaking of big stars, Ben Affleck, John Stewart, Mary J. Blige.
Yeah.
Wow. That is a good get. Sunday night after the Oscars, the big post-Oscar show, 12:05, Jimmy Kimmel Live. Jimmy, we'll see each other soon.
Yeah, I'll be watching you rehearse with Julianne through a small hole I drilled in the dance studio.
You play your cards right, and I'll let you rub my lucky penis.
Right.
All right, Jimmy Kimmel, everybody, getting me a divorce. But again, you can't stop the love.
You can't say a-hole on this station, I mean the whole word, but you can say, I'll let you rub my lucky penis. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Confusing.
It's called satire. Look it up, buddy. We'll take a break. McHale.
Yes.
Hang.
Yeah.
Strasser.
Yep.
News.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
Idol was on last night in a very special celebrity rehab during which Dr. Drew kind of turned into you.
We'll take a quick break.
Dude, really?
And we'll do it next.
And we're back.
As always, you're invited to come on along with us.
To the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, Joel McHale, T-Bone, the news. Joel, hang in, crack-wise from the cheap seats. T, the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Last night on Celebrity Rehab, UFC fighter Rico Rodriguez jumped off a boat. All of the celebrities in rehab were going to Catalina. And they were in...
I'm going to open a dance studio there with Julianne.
Her parents can't get to you there? They're landlocked?
Yeah, besides, it's going to be a lot easier, yeah. They're a landlocked group. The Mormons are landlocked.
Short boat ride away, right? So how do you get her there?
A little something. I don't want to give away too much, but I talked to my friends, Mr. Ether, Mr. Duck Tape.
Yes.
That's right. Eventually, I win her over. It's called Stockholm Syndrome.
Well,
learn it, love it.
Rico decides to jump off the boat.
Wait, hold on. Is it going to be weird when Chris Hansen shows up to the dance studio? You're Adam Carolla, right?
You know my to thwart that. You know my way to work around that.
How?
I do the candygram for Chris Hansen.
Oh, right.
And every time I have sex with an underage girl, I send the FTD guy there first, and he says, candygram for Chris Hansen, and if Chris comes walking in from behind the Duvetine curtain, I know it's a bust, and I'm watching from the hedge across the street.
I would just be careful if you go to rehearsal. You don't see Julianne Hough, but you hear her saying there's some sweet tea.
I take it you're a virgin.
That's the first time, though, that Duvetine has been mentioned on the radio.
You don't listen to the show very often, do you?
It's a black fabric they use when they film crap. Sorry.
He jumps in, and all of a sudden, I mean, Homeland Security shows up, the Coast Guard shows up.
He jumps into a harbor that you're not allowed to
swim.
They
tell him, you cannot jump off this boat. I think the propeller can probably hit you. It's very dangerous.
Mm.
There's a lot of commotion. The producer has to come out. They break the fourth wall. You
he
see
choked
the producer.
Out the rudder, though. He said bad an ass.
So now he's really, you know, he's really done it. So he jumps, and Dr. Drew, along with, I think, one of the producers, actually physically fish him out of the water. And he's a huge guy. And here's what Dr. Drew said as he was fishing Rico out.
Dude, really?
Dude. Yeah, he pulled the dude out.
Really?
And when doctor pulls out, when the doctor dusts off the dude, you know you've screwed up.
Yeah.
Because that is not in their lexicon. He doesn't toss out too many. Dr. Drew said he used less than three dudes a year.
I waited for you, man.
Mm-hmm.
And he used, he burned one right then?
He burned a dude,
yeah. It's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he didn't burn another dude on Jeff Conaway, but you could tell he was concerned when the former Taxi and Grease actor decides...
He rolled his wheelchair off the plank and went right down to Davy Jones' locker.
He decides to leave because he wants to be honest, and he tells the group, look, I'm going to be on pain medication. That's how it's going to be. I don't want to lie to you. So he and Dr. Drew have an exit interview, and he Jeff Conaway gets emotional.
What are you taking away from this experience? I mean, anything?
I found something that I liked about myself.
Yeah. Well, I saw that too.
Oh, how dare you cheapen this moment, Paul Brian. By the way,
when I was in the middle of the night, I was trying to get you to stay.
Yeah.
Remember what I said to you?
No. What are you saying? I remember.
I said that whether you left or not, I enjoyed every minute I spent with you. I still feel the same way. I don't like the drug addict, Jeff. I don't like the detoxing, Jeff. I like Jeff.
Yeah, but he's in a wheelchair. And if a guy's in a wheelchair and he wants to split and you don't want him to split, you just toss a Denver boot on his ass and he ain't going nowhere.
Sure.
How about a wheelchair Denver boot? I do feel like if you parked your wheelchair illegally in Burbank, they would they would not bat an eye before they tossed
Stephen
a
Hawking
boot on your ass.
Stephen Hawking is still fighting his Denver boot.
Hey, fire zone's a fire zone, Steve. Sorry, we got to boot your wheelchair.
And you don't have a front plate on your wheelchair.
No front
so
plate
enough.
On the wheelchair. You went ahead and turned right. You didn't come to a complete stop. You did a rolling wheelchair stop. As a matter of fact, we're going to pepper spray your ass, Stephen Hawking.
And hog tie you.
And hog tie you and drag you in the back of the cruiser.
I'm Teresa Strasser. That was a very short news.
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser.
Yeah, this is Burbank PD. I'm going to need a flatbed over here. We got to get Stephen Hawking's wheelchair into an impound yard. Okay, right now?
We're still dealing with Aretha Franklin's wheelchair.
Okay. Listen, Queen of Soul, smartest man in the world, you guys try up in the dunk tank. Okay, right now? We're going to go ahead and impound Aretha.
Stephen Hawking's making a break for it.
Stephen Hawking's making a roll for it. Scott, I'm going to need backup now.
You got to start running.
Stephen Hawking's trapped under one of Aretha's boobs. We're going to go ahead and need the jaws of life. Okay, right now? We're going to have to go ahead and... Aretha's right... Pete, what I'm going to need you to do right now is go ahead and lift yourself right now and roll off Aretha. Aretha, we're going to have to go ahead and impound your wheelchair because tags were expired, did not have a front plate on it, and no driver's side mirror as well. Okay, right now? I better think. You better think. Okay, right now?
Yeah, just keep running. Go.
I can't tell you how to spell respect, but I can tell you how to spell okay right now. Okay right now? Okay right now.
Am I going to need to bring a defibrillator for you,
okay,
officer?
What I'm going to need you to do for me okay right now is to go ahead for me okay right now, Aretha, and just go ahead and chain yourself to Stephen Hawking. Just go ahead and get back in the cruiser okay right now. Steven, what I'm going to ask you to do for me right now is go ahead and speak to me through your robotic computer, okay, right now?
I surrender.
Okay, right now, your robotic computer is entitled to one phone call, okay, right now?
Screw you, pig.
Steven, what I'm going to need for you to do for me right now, okay, is go ahead and remain silent and ask your robotic computer to go ahead and remain... What I'm going to need your robotic computer to do for me, okay, right now, is to go ahead and sing respect for me, okay, right now? Okay, right now?
R-E-S-P-C-T... Fine. I can't use...
Okay, I'm going to need you to sock it to me and sock it to me again right now, okay?
Sock it to me. Sock it to me.
Okay, all I'm going to need to do is take a break, okay, right now? And we'll go to commercial, okay, right now? Okay.
Right now?
Well, what I'm going to need for you to do for me, okay, right now, is to go ahead and listen to me give thanks where thanks are due. First, I want to thank John Langley, Cops, 20th season. Where the year's gone. There's a 2-disc DVD set. It is out as we speak. Joel McHale.
Pull it out. I'll get on my knees.
My muse. The Soup, everybody. Nicest guy in show business. The Soup, the best show in show business. Tonight, 10 o'clock on E! Jimmy Kimmel. the second nicest guy in show business.
Yes!
Post-Oscar show this Sunday. Surprises abound. And I cannot wait to see the rebuttal to the Sarah Silverman video.
I'm going to say, because of in anticipation of that video, higher ratings than the Oscars.
Actually, they actually bump up when they go to Kimmel.
It's like
at 12:05.
The undefeated Patriots are coming to play.
Awesome. Free 2 HD at AdamCarolla.com is where you go to hear more of me. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Teresa Strasser saying mahalo.
I don't go number two.